I'm shifting gears. Do you get lonely out on those long haul drives? Do you yearn for the touch of another? Are your friends on the CB just not cutting it? Well, fear no more, my friend. In conjunction with the kind folks at Pretty Little Dan, Inc., it is with great honor that I announce the Mighty Merle Sextile. It's made by SFM, Inc. at Sexy F***ing Merle Incorporated, a wholly owned subsidiary of PLD. A Mighty Merle Sextile can satisfy all your nastiest, filthy needs out on the open road. The Mighty Merle Sextile can be had for 72 easy payments of $13.77. That's only $2.71 a day. That's right. It's satisfying and cost-effective, too. With the Mighty Merle Sextile, you'll never worry about haggling with lot lizards ever again. Imagine the sweet glory of getting up into Mighty Merle's guts with one of the 6 pre-programmed songs. You'll never have to worry about feeling lonely with your good buddy, the Mighty Merle Sex Doll, at your side. Order now and get the Slick Leg Roy for free. Just pay an additional $83.99 shipping and handling. It's a Mighty Merle Sex Doll and Slick Leg Roy, both fine products of SFM, Inc. That's what I carry in my truck. Tell them your pal Shifty sent you. Thank you.
Guys couldn't get on the internet up here?
Not on the iHeart server, no.
Whose server did you use?
Well, I mean, the weird thing is the server seems to be down, but the Wi-Fi up here, the iHeart Wi-Fi, was still working. So I was able to, you know, get on my phone.
How could the server be down, but the Wi-Fi works?
Man, you got me.
Because the Wi-Fi is internal. Somehow it works internally, separate from the server.
Separate from the mothership?
Yeah. Here you go.
I don't get it.
I don't either.
Either an internet connection is... The Wi-Fi connects to the server.
Maybe it...
And if the server is down...
It must be on a separate one, then.
It's been spotty. There's some things I can pull up and some things I can't. But I know that I've gotten a couple reports that right now RussMartin.com is down because it's attached to the Clear Channel Network.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, that also means video stream is down, but I really couldn't care less. So you're saying Clear Channel around the country, the servers are down?
Nationwide, yes.
That's what I carry. My Clear Max 4G dongle.
Mm-hmm.
Because I couldn't get on the internet in my studio. So I plugged in my Clear Max Wi-Fi 4G dongle.
Ooh.
The download speeds of up to 14 megabits per second.
Mm-hmm.
Upload, you can forget it.
So if you're on that, don't even bother contributing to the internet.
No, but I was able to download stuff.
Very good.
Yeah,
it was interesting seeing the rest of the offices, the people that, you know, that work up here. And as soon as I heard,
"Network's down."
I swear to God, it was like kazoos came out. People started kicking back, putting feet up. I was like, well, I can't work.
You ever think about maybe using that boxy thing with the cord sitting on your desk? Phone?
What? I thought that was just a cubicle decoration. I didn't think that was... That's a real phone?
I just figured this place was full of antiquities.
Yeah. I was under the impression, do not touch, like in a museum.
I could bring my big receiver from the house, the Clearwire, since now I have AT&T broadband.
Yes, you do. You a big boy now.
And we can just hook it up to a Wi-Fi and not give anybody the code but us.
Fine by me.
Good. All right. Yeah, the video stream's not going to be up for a while, so screw you.
We'll open up a trouble ticket for you. Oh, wait. I can't.
You can't.
Because exactly. That's also on the server.
Yep.
You guys can't convert your computers to Wi-Fi?
Not this one. The one in front of me in the studio.
We have to have a special dongle for that.
They sure are weird about their computers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's just going to get worse.
Why?
They're telling us that in order to upload files that we need, like commercials and segments and things like that.
Upload the rebroadcast for $11.90.
Mm-hmm.
Or just loading in, you know, the commercial.
I'm just trying to make it easy for people to understand. But yeah. Thanks for help.
Sorry. But anyway, now it's going to have to go through an additional process, something called a scrubber. So there's just going to be another step that we have to go through in order to...
So it's another firewall to make sure no viruses get into the Clear Channel system.
Yes.
What if the files were created with Clear Channel equipment? Mm-hmm. Shouldn't it already be clean?
That's what I was thinking. But since some of the computers are in common areas, they're afraid of people coming up and doing weird things.
Well, when you say a common area,
well,
if
you
anyone
can still download,
well, yeah,
stuff,
but still, if you're in a common area beyond the lobby, then you should more than likely either be an employee or accompanied by one.
Well, I think they're worried about
employees,
yeah,
individuals, whatever. We get viruses on our computers.
Mm-hmm.
So
if you're going by that logic, we shouldn't be allowed anywhere on work stuff. It's because it's only
a
matter of time.
I told you guys, get your own computers. Bring your own laptop up. Screw that. No offense to, but get your own computer. And if we hook up our Wi-Fi network with the Clearwire, then there's nothing that they can see.
True. But what are you doing that you don't want them to see?
Well, just people are paranoid about somebody reading somebody else's emails. Because time to time, I'll send emails to other people in the company calling somebody a dumb and I don't want that dumb accidentally see it. Although it'd probably only be engineering, and I don't call them dumb
because
I'm sure they have some type of flag that goes off.
I would imagine. Hell, I bet they have a nice file folder just full of rich stuff.
Anything said about engineering immediately is flagged and sent to Lewis Sutton.
Mm-hmm. It's their engineering meeting. Oh, guess what so-and-so said? Guess
you
who's
gonna,
not?
Go ahead and take that work ticket that they wrote up to get something fixed and tell them to off. All of it. All right. Looks like the video stream may be up now. I don't know. I don't care. The light just keeps flicking on and off. I forget what I was going to bring up. Oh, is there any audio from The Bachelor this week?
I wasn't able to pull that off the
You were or weren't?
I was not able to pull that off today.
Always look forward to Bachelor Weeks.
Well, the thing is, this there really wasn't anything juicy this week because this was the finale. And the one girl that got sent home didn't even cry.
Didn't it just start?
It seems that way, but...
Well, how could you have the finale? Aren't there supposed to be...
It started in January.
And how many chicks they start out with?
25.
Out of the 25, nobody cried on the way home?
A few of them did, and I played a couple of them for you. But early on, not many, you know, were hysterical. I played you the one chick that was the sniffling. After she got kicked off.
Well, it's turned out to be pretty much of a f***ed up season, I must say.
Actually, I think it was one of my favorite seasons. Shut up, Paul. No one likes you.
Why is he laughing?
Because I guess you saw the struggle in my face when I said favorite and bachelor all in the same sentence.
I enjoy it. I just enjoy it in bits and pieces of the chicks crying. But there's not anything to it, and that's fine.
Well, that was the weird thing about this week was that it's the finale. One girl gets engaged. The other girl usually is sent packing in just a heap of tears and, you know, despair. This chick, all she kept doing was, well, I'm falling in love, but I just don't know if I'm in love with you and blah, blah, blah. And then when he sent her home, she just kind of just blank face all the way in the limo ride. She's like, oh, well, I understand.
I will not give him the satisfaction of crying because I know how this show works. They tape these and they show it back to The Bachelor afterwards. Yeah, I don't know why they give in every time, the chicks, the limo ride.
I think
because they've seen episodes before. They know this is going to be broadcast.
Well, it depends on the chick. Some of them are just going to be just, you know, just rot with emotion. Others are working on an acting gig.
Damn, so you think the bitches are catching on?
The show's been on for like 19 seasons. I think some have caught on along the way.
You got any trouble, Flo? I wasn't paying attention. You got a can today, and they gave me a long cut.
Ooh.
I don't do long cut.
They did throw up a twist, though, at the end of this season of The Bachelor.
Thanks for being concerned about my nicotine fit.
Well, you got your fix.
Yeah, I know.
Therefore, I'm not concerned. I'm happy for you.
Actually, I didn't really think about it until we got in the studio.
I'm telling you, it's a situational thing. It's a location-based addiction for you.
So if I'm not getting any high or bump or anything out of it, why do I keep doing it?
Habit.
Well, couldn't I just take just a pouch of nothing in there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a spit thing.
Yeah. If you wanted to, you could just replace the pouch of tobacco with, like, sesame seeds or sunflower seeds.
Bubble gum?
Nah, I like the feeling of the pouch.
You could take and cut off a piece of like a bag of tea.
Yeah, that's going to taste dandy. You got to start soaking them in vodka.
There you go. Wait, no, you don't need to do that. You're already drinking it.
I know, but.
But what?
Help me temper myself.
How would that temper yourself?
Well, maybe I wouldn't drink as much if I was just soaking in it. You hear about the Merle sex doll?
Yeah, because that's a sober thing.
Just trying to change topics.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny, I cut it, and I went, all right, what's wrong with it? Oh, it doesn't have the AM sound to it.
Right.
Oh.
So it doesn't work when it's clean. It's just got to have that AM tent to it, so I just ran it through a phone filter thingy.
Hi, I'm Shifty Gears. Do you get lonely out?
See, even the music in stereo bothers me.
You got to mono out everything?
Yeah.
Need it to feel real and crunchy.
On those long haul drives, do you yearn for the touch of another? Are you?
See, the music's in mono now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why that sounds better to me.
Your friends on the CB just not cutting it. Well, fear no more, my friend. In conjunction with the kind folks at Pretty Little Dan, Inc., it is with great honor that I announce the Mighty Merle sex doll.
All right, first of all, just in case Billy Bob's takes care of us after they made their big announcement on this station Monday that Merle Haggard was playing there July 4th weekend.
Yeah.
Is there another Merle, famous Merle, we can go, we're not talking about Merle Haggard. Because I couldn't think. I almost said the Mighty Merle Haggard sex doll, but then we would have no out.
The other probably most popular would be Merle Dixon. He's a character on The Walking Dead. Would make perfect sense for there to be a Merle sex doll.
Okay, go perfect. That. It gets back to Merle Haggard. We're talking about Merle
Dixon from The Walking Dead. And he's sweaty and dirty and just makes the girls go, ooh.
Perfect.
Is there anybody named Roy on that show? Oh, nah, we could say in this we're talking about Roy Clark.
There you
so
go.
We're all right.
Yeah.
Not Merle's.
You know what? Chances are there has been a character named Roy in Walking Dead, and he was probably dead soon.
Okay, good. All right.
It's made by SFM Inc. at Sexy F***ing Merle Incorporated, a wholly owned subsidiary of PLD. A Mighty Merle sex doll can satisfy all your nastiest, filthy needs out on the open road. The Mighty Merle sex doll can be had for 72 easy payments of $13.77. That's only $2.71 a day. That's right, it's satisfying and cost effective too. With the Mighty Merle sex doll, you'll never worry about haggling with lot lizards ever again. Imagine the sweet glory of getting up at the Mighty Merle's guts with one of the six pre-programmed songs. You'll never have to worry about feeling lonely with your good buddy, the Mighty Merle sex doll, at your side. Order now and get the Slick Leg Roy for free. Just pay an additional $83.99 shipping and handling. It's the Mighty Merle sex doll and Slick Leg Roy, both fine products of SFM Inc. That's what I carry in my truck. Tell them your pal shipped his sent you. Thank you.
Plus, somehow, if it gets back to Merle,
mm-hmm.
That's shifty gears.
That's true.
Yeah,
totally different show.
Not even a real person. This is something we found online.
Has anybody heard when Terry Dorsey's funeral is?
I have not. I have not seen anything about it. I didn't see anything about it yesterday or today.
I didn't see anything in the news, really, yesterday. It was like Monday, they sort of covered it.
Mm-hmm.
That was it.
Yeah, it was very brief on Monday. And Sunday was a little bit more because it was the day of. But, yeah, because we were watching TV Monday in here, and we saw Fox 4 had something quick on it, maybe Channel 5. But that was, of the stations we had on, that was about it. So I think it was...
when Craddock died, when David died, that was at least a week worth of coverage.
Yeah, and it led everyone's newscasts.
I always thought Terry Dorsey was a bigger deal.
Oh, he is a big deal.
Oh, we're late, aren't we?
Yes.
There was after the show Monday, a couple of phone lines were ringing, and I answered it. There was this guy. I forget what his name was. He goes,
yeah. Hey, is this Ralphie?
I said, no, it's Russ.
Man, out of the park.
What?
Eulogy is out of the ballpark.
When, dude, I feel bad enough about this. Don't make me cry.
I'm going to hug you at Merle.
Oh, yeah, and he kept saying that. I'm going to find you.
I'm going to find you and hug you at the Merle show?
Am I lying?
You're not lying. But, Russ, I think you made it worse. You go, you come find me.
Well, that's how's he going to get to us? But he cried the entire phone call.
I got to go find Russ. He told me to come give a hug.
Listen to Terry Dorsey for 3 decades. Out of the park, man.
Get you making grown men cry.
Mm-hmm. But you were nice to him. You were cool. It just, oof.
Yeah, oof. That's about it. We'll be back.
We'll be back to the Russ Martin Show.
3:37, first check on traffic. Alfie Coy is in KEGL's Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by Kroger. A lot going on. Let's get started off in Dallas. Northbound I-35 right at the tollway. Got an accident there blocking the 2 right lanes. Traffic there is backed up back from the Mixmaster. This is also blocking the exit ramp and also causing a backup on Woodall Rogers back to 75. And hey, guess what? 75 is backed up back from Knox Henderson. Also in Dallas, westbound 30 right at Riverfront. Road construction has the 2 left lanes shut down. Traffic's backed up back from Dolphin Road. Let's go into Bald Springs, eastbound 20, right at 635. Got some pothole repair blocking the 2 right lanes. Traffic there's backed up back to 45. This one's for Clough, westbound 30 at FM 35 in Royce City. Got some road construction going on. Traffic's backed up back to FM 36. And finally in Fort Worth, southbound East Loop 820, right at Lancaster Avenue. Got an accident there. Traffic is backed up back from Meadowbrook Drive. Subscribe to the Russ Martin Show audio and video archives at russmartin.fm. Proceeds benefit the RMS Listeners Foundation. I'm Alfie Coy and the Eagles Black Thunder.
From the Staples Weather Center, Eagle Weather brought to you by Wendy's. Cloudy tonight, 51 for the low. Tomorrow, morning rain. And eventually, we hit a high of 65. Right now, 66 at 97.1, the Eagle.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
Ow! Wait a minute. Ow!
Told you those songs would mash up.
I didn't doubt you.
The only problem is, I wasn't the first one to notice it. I don't know how long Uptown Funk has been out. But I found a few mashups on YouTube from December.
I was going to say, I think that's around the time it came out.
And there's no way I'm going to sit and dick around with mashing two songs together.
I know which one you found because I looked them up too. There's two of them that showed up on top, and the one you got, I think it's definitely the better one. Because somebody else like just put too much effort.
Well, some of them didn't put any effort. They just kind of cut back and forth and didn't really layer it. This guy, DJ Flim, or whatever his name is.
It's Flim.
something like that. He's a... I don't think his is on YouTube. I think it's on the SoundCloud or whatever that thing is called.
Yeah, SoundCloud.
I thought he did the best job. Plus, the quality on the other ones was not great. The fidelity was off.
Well, not everyone's as big a stickler about that as you are.
Well, I mean, it was noticeable. It was like Bruno Mars or whoever's singing the song. His vocals had been run through.
Not this bad of a filter, but it sort of sounded like this.
This was the cleanest one. I like this one.
It's good.
Rock my soul. Believe me, just watch. Don't believe me, just watch. Don't believe me, just watch. Don't believe me, just watch.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
Ow! Wait a minute. Ow!
I sure hope they're saying funk you up.
Yeah. I'm hearing funk.
Because I didn't know if there was a radio edit or whatever.
I have not seen any other versions.
Okay.
Like explicit or anything like that.
I think usually Bruno Mars is family friendly.
It's not like the, MC Hammer's Too Legit to Quit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what it says in the liner notes. They ain't saying funk.
Oh, really?
That's why when we play the audio of Hammer performing with Psy on the whatever awards it was, even though we pull the audio straight off ABC, I went, they are not saying funk. I listened to it with headphones. I slowed it down. It ain't funk. Funk you up, I think is what they're saying.
Okay. Yeah, that's one of those where, if the FCC came at ABC, they'd be like, liner notes, hello. No, it's funk.
The black guy said they were singing funk. I ain't arguing with them.
Right.
Okay.
I don't know what you hear, but whatever you're hearing is offensive. And how dare you accuse us of such a thing?
I didn't hear back from anybody at KSCS. I wonder if I pissed them off with Dorsey's eulogy.
Maybe they just didn't hear it?
It was after 7, end of the show.
I didn't hear anything from JR. So, yeah, no, I didn't hear anything from anyone from KSCS.
I wasn't looking for accolades. I just didn't want them JR gets it. Mm-hmm. JR, the operations manager for KSCS and the Woof. So I don't think he would have had a problem with it.
No.
I got an email from Jerry Reynolds, car pro guy.
There you go. And he was a very good friend of Dorsey's.
He was happy.
See, there you go. Yeah, I got quite a bit of feedback on Twitter, Facebook. People liked it.
Short of, you know, the email from Jerry and one other email, the guy that called.
A man out of the park. Here's it out of the park. I'm all hooky, Merle.
Like, he knows we're absolutely going to see Merle Haggard. Who is it? Chris Spinks?
Spinks, yeah.
The PR guy for Billy Bob's picks us as the first station to make the announcement.
Sorry, I think something may be wrong with him.
I think he's smart. Where are you going to go to get more bang for the buck? Which is free.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's in a position of power, obviously, with Billy Bob's, but still, it's country's kind of where you butter your toast. It's one of those things you got to keep that relationship good, as opposed to pissing them off by announcing it on a rock station.
Well, if KSCS doesn't play Merle, and the Wolf doesn't play Merle.
Well, I guess
that is as far as big country stations in this market.
The big
ones, 100,000 watt.
Right.
You got the field or
The range.
Range.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the range and the ranch.
Range and the ranch.
I was in between both of those. Both of those are low power FMs.
Yes.
Field.
Alfie pulled up a list of famous Merles just in case we get called on it.
Yeah, actually.
We're not going to get you backstage past seeing Merle with that Merle sex doll.
Yeah.
We were not talking about Merle Haggard.
Yeah, that's my bad. I got my Walking Dead characters wrong. Daryl is the dirty, sexy one. His brother Merle is the racist, dead one. So, yeah, we need a different Merle.
There's Merle Allen, punk rock musician. Never heard of him.
Mm-mm.
Merle Curdy, American historian. Hey, there's a Merle Kegel.
Oh, perfect.
What does he do?
Yeah, yeah.
Player in the... Really?
Oh.
How's that possible? Player in the All-American Girls Professional Baseball League. I guess it's a chick.
Yeah, I looked her up. She's like a League of Their Own type.
Well, that's the All-American Girls Baseball League.
Does she look like a Merle?
She looks kind of like a Merle, yeah.
I wonder why they would... When was she born?
Is she like the Babe Ruth of her era?
I don't know.
Big
she was born in 1923, so maybe Merle was a popular name in the 20s for women.
Or maybe that was just...
Or they just had the baby and they went, this is going to be ugly.
Yeah. It's like, I realized we had a nice, pretty name like April picked out, but they ain't going to fit.
There's a... Merle Park, Royal Ballet, Prima Ballerina.
That's not bad.
So that's another chick named Merle.
Good.
Born in 37. Merle Travis, American country music singer. I've never heard of Merle Travis.
I haven't either.
Anybody? Mm-mm. He died in 83.
He probably wouldn't work then.
Like this one on the bottom, Merle Wu.
Ooh. What's he do? Or maybe her.
American academic and activist.
What is he protest or what is he champion?
It just says American academic and activist.
Merle Wu apparently is a girl as well.
Okay, that helps. Please don't say she's a feminist. It's just going to backfire in this doll thing.
Well, if she asked, we're talking about Merle Kegel.
I like that.
And that makes the most sense.
Absolutely.
Merle, K-E-G-L.
Oh, and the exercise.
Mm-hmm. Merle Dixon, character in Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
And then just a character in the Vision of Escaflowne. Alfie?
That sounds about right.
The 1996 anime series, the character was just called Merle.
Okay. I think there's also a Merle Norman Cosmetics.
Is it Merle?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, we're in the clear.
There's more than one. I think that's the main thing. We can point to a host of other Merles and go, why do you assume it's you? Just because we're using your song is for part of the commercial.
Yeah, I don't want to go now, just in case.
You have to go.
He goes, is there Russ Martin in the crowd? Get me up on stage. Did you make a sex doll out of me?
At that point, you would say no, because there isn't an actual sex doll.
I'm not going.
You need to go. You've been excited about this before this even existed.
No, you guys trying to talk me into it. Look, big road trip. We'll go to Choctaw or wherever he was going to play and gamble and whatever.
Yeah. Well, now we just go to Billy Bob's. Still have a good time. And if you want to go to Windstar afterwards, we can.
Yeah, we just get Limo George to take us. Can't be sober at a Merle concert.
No.
Oh, hell no.
Mm-mm. I've never even been to Billy Bob's. I think it'd be a travesty to... I'm sorry. I think it'd be a travesty to go sober.
You almost asked him, really, didn't you?
Yeah. I mean, really.
I don't know why people do that. It's like, well, I've never seen... name a big movie that came out the last couple of years.
Independence Day.
Well, I saw that.
Oh, okay.
But as far as the bit, I never saw it. You never saw Independence Day? No, I just did. I mean, I don't know why they ask you that.
Yeah, because I guess. Yeah, where do you go from there? Yeah, it's pretty much that's it.
Yeah, what do you want me to say?
Right.
How many times do I have to say I didn't see a particular movie?
You didn't?
I didn't see Unforgiven.
You didn't?
Wasn't that a big movie?
It's a great movie. Big movie, yes.
Okay, I've never seen E.T.
You haven't?
No.
Why not? What's wrong with you?
I don't know. I just never did.
Movie's been out forever.
There we go. Ooh.
So you don't get any references. Well, we don't make them in E.T. references.
And most of the ones that we do make, everyone kind of gets, you know, like E.T. finger, phone.
What about when I ran across Alfie's window on my knees with my arms in the air? You didn't get that one?
I got that. I mean, I've seen pieces and stuff like that, but I've never sat down and watched the whole movie before.
Plus, I was also in an episode of Family Guy.
With E.T.?
Yeah.
E.T. runs across the screen. I swear to God, first time I saw it, I almost asphyxiated. I was laughing so hard.
Okay. What is line one, Alfie?
She's calling about Dorsey's funeral.
Yes, Linda.
Yes. Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Terry's funeral is Saturday at 1 p.m. in Arlington at the Arlington Lakes Baptist Church.
Okay.
It's a public funeral.
I hope that's a big church.
I know.
They're probably going to be, I would even get, thank you, ma'am. I would even guess some country artists flying for this.
Yes. Absolutely. Especially any of that, with local ties, other than just knowing Dorsey. I wouldn't be surprised if you see Randy Travis there.
Yeah, because he's up and around. He's not moving fast.
But he's moving.
Okay. Where are you going to go? What audio you got?
I have, there was the breaking news, I think it was yesterday or today, the mashup, the lawsuit between Robin Thicke and Pharrell against Marvin Gaye's family, or actually Marvin Gaye's family against the two of them,
mm-hmm.
was finally settled. And
there's no way that, don't tell me his name, the guy. It's saying blurred lines.
That's a start.
Robin Thicke.
Mm-hmm.
Featuring Pharrell.
Yes.
Yeah, there's no way that they were going to skate that.
No.
None.
No.
The first time I heard this song, I went, I think I threw out the wrong title, but I knew that was a Marvin Gaye song.
And they even said, I think in either before depositions or at least during depositions, one of them said, yeah, well, we used the song as inspiration, blah, blah, blah. So now you've linked the two songs. So it's inevitable, I'd say. A federal jury ruled yesterday that Blurred Lines does rip off the 1977 Marvin Gaye song, Got to Give It Up. The mashup of the two songs is cut 12. And they ordered Robin Thicke and Pharrell to pay Marvin's kids $7.4 million. the Gays also sued T.I., who appears on the song, but the jury
said he had no damages to pay. During a week-long trial, Gay's family...
had no damages to pay.
They let him off.
Why?
I don't know.
Stole a song.
I guess he was such a minor part on the song.
Oh, you're talking about Pharrell.
T.I.
Oh, T.I. Who is that?
That was a guy who had a brief moment on this. He was featured in the song, but not as prominent as Robin Thicke and Pharrell.
Because the writing credits show Robin Thicke and Pharrell.
Yes.
Okay.
During a week-long trial, Gay's family brought in a musicologist who testified that there was a constellation of eight similar elements in the two songs. Their attorney also noted that in several interviews, Robin said he told Pharrell he wanted to write a song like Got to Give It Up, and that Pharrell had said he tried to pretend he was Marvin Gaye while writing it. Then they all released a statement saying the verdict sets a horrible precedent for music and creativity going forward. And it sounds like they're planning an appeal. I just love the statement. Everyone knows it already. And you said this is a horrible precedent for music and creativity going forward.
Yeah. Yeah.
You did the opposite of creative. I'm just being creative.
I mean, it's bad enough sampling from other songs. Well, what was the Ice Baby? That was a Queen song.
And everybody knew it.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know it. I'd never heard the Queen song.
But those who heard the song were like, oh, yeah. And then if you someone played you the original, you knew.
Now, did Vanilla Ice get sued for that? Did he get permission from...
No. He did get sued from it. I don't know what happened. But Vanilla Ice claimed, listen, there's one extra note or one note missing.
Yeah. He tried saying that he had changed just enough to where he didn't owe them anything.
Yeah. You just leave out one part. Like, well, I don't know why I got sued just by calling it Coca-Cola. So, or I spelled it with two L's.
Yeah, Coca-Cola.
Did it say the music expert that they brought in? Anywhere in the story does it say how many elements have to be met before you can? Listed as plagiarism?
Not this. No, it does. He just says there was, you know, eight similar elements in the two songs. So I guess that was enough for the jury. Like, good enough for us. Or perhaps someone just pulled off a mashup on YouTube. That's what I would do if I was the Gay family. Be like, hey, play. It's evidence.
That's it? Mashup's 3 seconds long?
Cut 12?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I guess so. Shouldn't have been.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's 4 seconds long.
Well.
Could it be someplace else on here?
No, I got a suspicion that the reason that was because it cut off with the internet being down.
Oh. Let's see if Marvin's on your flash. Okay, here's one. Nope, that was the same one.
Great.
But, again, it's if I could spot it, I'm a Marvin Gaye fan, but it's not like I had any of his albums. I just knew what I heard on the radio.
Right.
It's not like an 8-track that I played over and over and over.
And then even especially, like I said, my favorite part is when they actually said in joint interviews they wanted to do a Marvin Gaye-style song. Hey, let's write a song like Marvin Gaye. I'm going to pretend I'm Marvin Gaye.
Did they say this during the trial or were these interviews?
This was in interviews. Robin Thicke had told Pharrell he wanted to write a song like Got to Give It Up. And then Pharrell had said he tried to pretend he was Marvin Gaye while writing it.
During the trial, Pharrell came back and said, well, you know, Marvin Gaye really didn't cross my mind while I was writing this. And Thicke basically said, I didn't have anything to do with the song. That was all Pharrell.
Damn.
Yeah, he sold the brother out.
Damn.
Are they still buddies? Because you drop dime like that, and that's a big one to drop.
Yeah. It is.
I had nothing to do with it. Is that right there that did it? You know how they are?
Oh, no. Wow.
He just handed me the song and went, here you go.
Oh, man.
But even, what's his name?
Robin Thicke?
Yeah. Even he said he was a big Marvin Gaye fan. So it's like they were just prepping to get sued. How many interviews can we do before they're going to sue us? What's it take for a brother to get sued around here?
But yeah, I mean, they both lost millions of dollars because of it. Because I think
I saw that Robin Thicke made 7. Mm-hmm. Pharrell made 5.
Actually, I think they were both really close. The song overall made like a little over 15 million, just the song. Robin Thicke, Pharrell split the majority of it. T.I. got a little taste, and then the record companies got the rest.
And didn't it say somewhere in the story they're going to try to limit the release of the song and the money-making potential in the future?
Try and put a cap on it.
Yeah. Like, you have all this publicity, and just everybody's going to go download it now.
Is that what you meant? Put a cap on penalties in the future?
Yeah, I mean, no, just,
for
yeah.
plagiarism?
They're just going to, they said they're going to try to limit the production or something. It was, it wasn't a cap thing. It was something else.
Production of, hey, do you know what he's?
I have no idea.
I think he's trying to say that the gay family wants additional royalties. That,
well, they should.
Yeah.
If it, yeah. Okay, I get what Chloe's saying. If we don't release the song anymore, we pull it off iTunes or whatever, then.
Yes,
you know,
sorry.
Well, then that's just being a dick to the gay family. Sound bites. I really shouldn't. Two words.
Sorry.
It's being an a-hole to the Marvin Gaye estate.
Mm. I think that's still kind of soundbite-ish.
No. A dick to the gay family is a soundbite.
Definitely. No doubt.
What? Okay, yes. We need a break.
We'll be back to the Russ Martin Show. Martin Show.
406. This is KEGL Fort Worth, Dallas, Texas. Alfie Coy is in KEGL's Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ Eagle. Traffic brought to you by Wendy's. Let's get started off in Dallas. Westbound I-30, right at Riverfront Road. Construction there has a 2-left lane shutdown. Traffic's backed up back from Dolphin Road. Also in Dallas, northbound I-35, right at the tollway, got an accident there in the clearing stages. Traffic's backed up back from the Mixmaster. In Balt Springs, eastbound 20, right at 635, got some pothole repair blocking the 2 right lanes. Traffic there's completely stopped back from Lancaster Road, about an hour delay through it. In Louisville, northbound 35, right at FM 407, got some pothole repair blocking pretty much everything. The roadway's stopped down to 1 lane. Traffic there's backed up back from Business 121. Finally, in Fort Worth, southbound East Loop 820, right at Lancaster Avenue. Got an accident there. Traffic's backed up back from Meadowbrook Drive. Listen to Chris Ryan tomorrow afternoon at 12:25 for a shot to win a pair of tickets to UFC 185. March 14th at the American Airlines Center. Details are online at KEGL.com. I'm Alfie Coy, the Eagles, Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by the Texas Lottery. Tonight, cloudy 51. Tomorrow, some rain in the morning with a high tomorrow around 65. Right now, it's... I'm going to guess. What?
About 68.
We'll call it 68 at 97.1 The Eagle.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
Grabbing something off the printer, then I was downloading a couple other pieces of audio.
Okay. Well, at least write the temperature on there if I have to do the weather again.
Gotcha. My apologies.
It's all right.
Not really. I hate this place.
Why?
Because nothing works! They spent thousands of dollars to update computers. Can I get a new one right here? No. I asked engineering to take a look at it yesterday. They updated the Shockwave. I turned it on today. Within 5 minutes, it was locked up.
Bring a laptop in here.
I shouldn't have to buy my own work stuff at work. I understand I need to, but Jesus.
But it's okay for me to buy my own work stuff.
Yes. There's just some days where you just like, you just want to look around and be like, really? I'm glad we finally got the new computers that we got because
some days, man, that thing was going to go off the roof.
That's why I just use my own laptop. Even on days that it screws up, at least it works. I don't know how you guys tolerated all the crap that you did in the past.
And that's why I was saying the new computers that we got now in the offices are actually good. Very nice, up to date. And
but the one in here that you use is crap.
Is, yeah, it's one of the old ones.
I got an email. This is kind of, yeah, it's computer related. Do you or anybody in your office have any suggestions for virus cleaning tools? Nothing seems to work on my computer. I think this, yeah, this looks like it's a guy's work computer. Man, whose fault is that? Nothing seems to work on this computer. I have a nasty adware or a root kit that I can't get off. I know what you got. You got the FBI warning that locks your computer up. But you don't want to say it because most places you get that is looking at porn.
Yeah, because they're going to look back at your history and they're going to have a pretty solid idea where you got it.
He said he's tried ESET. Some of these I have not heard of. I've heard of Malwarebytes, Spyware Search and Destroy.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's supposed to be a pretty good one.
I think we've used that one before.
Adaware, Kaspersky, CC Cleaner, Norton, and Symantec.
Yep. I get a lot of Symantec notices.
I've used everything, it seems. I haven't used McAfee. Trying the free route as much as I can. Dude, you better pay for something, because if it's a work computer, they're going to figure it out sooner or later.
I think at this point, he's got maybe two courses of action. One is to burn the machine somehow and just say you don't know what happened to it. And the other would be go to the IT guy and you give him or her whatever they want to fix it, to make it go away and to keep it quiet.
I've used everything it seems. I haven't a McAfee. It's on a Windows 8.1 machine. Not sure if that matters. Yeah. It's a work computer. I got it one time on a laptop, that FBI thing.
I
went through everything. Everything. I went, I can beat this. I can get this off.
Took it as a challenge?
Yeah, you will not. And I'm not sending you $500. I heard news reports that if you sent whoever it was the money, they would unlock your computer.
Mm-hmm.
But there were still going to be things attached to it. So I guess at any point in time, they could lock it back up for you.
And that's what typically they would do. Anyone that actually would give them, say, the $500 to unlock, they let everything go well for a while, then they'd just lock her up again, knowing these people are going to do it again.
But it was on a computer that I only used for porn.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. You got me now. I just reinstalled Windows. That's why I just have one computer dedicated to porn. And if it goes belly up and I get something on it, then or it just craps, chunking it and getting a new one. You get relatively cheap laptops.
Yeah.
Especially if all you're going to use it doesn't need a lot of power, a lot of CPU.
Yeah, you just...
to look at... some tie.
Yes. Yeah, I think you can get some that are just like maybe $300-$400.
I don't know. They should just sell porn computers.
You better write this down. Someone's going to do it.
Yeah.
Kind of like your paparazzi suit.
Oh, yeah, the reflective paparazzi suit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about that for... over a year.
Maybe more than that.
Just wear something that's highly reflective, so when they take the picture, it just washes everything out. Probably wouldn't work during the day. But if you wore like a foil hazmat suit, they took your picture, big deal. They can't prove who's in it.
Mm-mm. All they see is just a blur. You're like,
if you've got the hat on, the thing that totally covers your face, they can't go, oh, look, there's Alec Baldwin in a hazmat suit. Well, you don't know who's in the suit.
and at that point, the photographer is not going to get any money for it, because who would rightfully pay for it?
How do we know that's Alec Baldwin inside?
Yeah, how do we know that's not you wearing a foil suit and just telling us who it is?
Yeah, I got no answer for this guy. Sorry, Adam.
I'm telling you, buy off the IT guy.
Let's see if it shows at the bottom where he works. I'm not going to say it. I'm just curious.
IBM.
Google.
The email is from a Gmail account. Oh no.
What?
He works for a municipality.
Ooh.
You better stage your break-in, Jack.
Yeah. Oh no. That's no. And they keep track of all that stuff. The whole idea of open records and what city employees do. That's kind of a big deal.
And that's why I don't search for anything untoward up here. Even if it's something we need for a bit that I'm going to bleep out, whatever.
See,
I don't want ever coming back. I think Mike Hudman would be the one, the engineer / IT guy, that would be alerted if we were downloading nasty stuff. And Hudman's not going to say anything.
No.
But I just don't want somebody walking to me with a printout of as thick as the Yellow Pages. What is this? Show prep?
It is. Research, man.
It's like when we pulled up the two girls, one cup.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't want that on my computer.
It's on mine. I know it is. Like I've said before, if they ever come at me with a sheet of paper that says Google on it, I know where I'm going next.
When me and Chloe first got here and sat down with the HR lady. When Chloe and I first got here, sat down with the HR lady.
It's nice of you to help it like that.
I appreciate it. They told us, they said, okay, we understand who you're working for.
What does that mean?
I don't know. She said it.
Wow.
What the hell does that mean?
She don't work here no more, so.
Anymore.
Who's with you?
So she said, I understand who you work for, and then what?
We will keep that in mind whenever we see any sort of things that pop up on your history.
And did she say how often they check the history on the computer?
She did not.
I think when they told me the same thing, I said, you better keep that in mind. That man makes me search for things that are just vile.
You are a f***ing liar.
Vile, disgusting things. Every day, Russ asks me, hey, what's Blue Waffle? And I got to type it in to find out.
I have never Googled that, and I will not.
I know. You make me do it. That's what I tell them.
I don't want to see it. All I know is the way you guys have described it, it's some kind of rancid clam.
Yeah.
I don't know.
In a blue stage.
Is it like blown inside out? Well, I mean, I don't know what causes the blue.
That I actually don't know. I just know it's some type of infection, right, Alfie?
I don't even know if it's a legitimate infection, but the picture itself is nasty.
In order to truly...
Looks like you ain't got enough oxygen to your clam. It's smurfed on you. You get STD from a smurf? Aha, Blue Waffle.
Smurfette, that bitch.
You've already had it pretty bad having to see Lemon Party.
I haven't seen Lemon Party.
Yeah, you have.
What is that?
Look it up real quick.
Off.
No, come on.
No.
Look up something.
What is Lemon Party?
I thought, Alfie's right, I thought we showed that to you.
I don't, what is it?
That's a couple of old guys right after a chess game. Or match.
Obviously, you're not referring to the game.
No, I'm saying they could have played chess before doing what they were doing.
But were they doing stuff on each other's chest?
No. See? Not that bad. Look it up. Mm-mm. Lemon Party.
No. Do not pull it up and turn your monitor around.
I'm just researching.
Is it a couple of guys?
You know what? I got it wrong. It's not chess. It was a game of bingo.
And did they tinkle on each other?
I mean, no. There's no.
What is
no.
it?
It's three old guys enjoying each other.
Is it like a 69 with a guy in the middle?
There's a guy on the bed in the middle, and there's a guy down below, and there's another guy up above.
And are they doing things to him?
Mm-hmm.
Are they doing things on him?
Just to him.
Why do they call it a lemon party?
So you'll look at it when someone sends you the link?
So it sounds safe?
Yes.
Oh. I'm going to turn the mics off. You tell me what it is. Ready?
Yep. On a bed.
How old are the guys?
Old.
Well, but old men want to pose for something like that. There can't be any money in it.
There might be. I don't know.
So there's a rooster in one guy's face.
Mm-hmm.
And no, one of the guys is kissing him.
Mm-hmm.
And the other guy is roostering the guy that's getting kissed.
Mm-hmm.
How long's the video?
Oh, God, I hope there's not a video. What I've seen is just a still shot. If there's video,
Yeah, if there was video, people would have sent you that link.
Yeah.
Not just a screen cap.
It'd be sort of like sending just like one screen cap of two girls, one cup. No, you're going to send a video.
I just got an email from J.R. Schumann, operations manager for KSCS and Woof.
Mm-hmm. What's Mr. Schumann got to say?
I sent him a copy of Dorsey's eulogy. I said, I don't know if you want it or not, but here it is. I said, I hope no one was offended.
It was nice of you to say that.
He said, with everything going on, I needed this laugh today. Thank you, sir.
It's very nice.
Yeah. Because the way it starts, actually, it didn't. I don't think it started bad.
No.
I don't know.
There were a lot of people that didn't like Craddock's eulogy because they didn't listen to all of it.
Right. That and like so many people nowadays, everyone's got to be outraged by something. It's like you can't go through your day unless you're offended.
We'll play it again.
Nobody's asked for it.
What, the Dorsey eulogy?
Yeah.
I'd like to hear it again.
Alfie, you get any calls?
I did get a couple yesterday.
Okay. Nothing today?
Not yet.
It's kind of egotistical to play it again. I mean, it's got nothing to do with me.
Oh, no, I don't see it as an egotistical thing. It could just be forgive me for doing this, sort of a radio thing that we did Monday night after, after 7. Different people tuning in now may not have heard it then.
Plus, I don't understand why you would even have to say, I hope this is not offensive.
I know how shaken up Hawkeye was. Because when we talked Sunday, he said, do you mind if we call you on Monday? I said, well, I got a couple of stories, like when we came in with the TV cameras and pulled his pants down and his fat shot out.
Oh.
And that's when Hawkeye went, yeah, maybe we won't call you.
That may not be the memory that we want to put out there just yet.
Now, when I go, the eulogies, for the calls, I want them all to be foul, and I'm glad he's gone.
Why?
Because that's what I want. That's my wishes. Why can't I wish that? You can't respect the dead?
I don't think you really want that.
Yes, no. I do. What do I care? I'm dead. But if there's an afterlife, and I find out, you take a bunch of nice phone calls, that's going to be the worst eternity you've ever had.
Well, we can't help if people...
I will haunt you like a mother every day.
Well, you know what we'll do? We'll just make it a balance.
All right, that's cold.
Good job, Chloe. I'm going to give you some knuckles. And also in the afterlife, keep in mind, that was Chloe's idea. So you get his ass.
You better hope I don't come back as a cat.
Oh, Jesus.
I'll f*** you up, dude. Be reincarnated as the only cat with opposing thumbs.
Oh, jeez.
So there's nowhere he can go to get away from me.
Oh, my God.
I wonder if that's why Toonses always drove off the cliff. He didn't have opposing thumbs to hold onto the wheel.
That makes a lot of sense.
I never thought about that. I'm glad we've answered that mystery.
Meanwhile, there's a writer from SNL thinking it took them how many years to get it? That should have been painfully obvious the first time we ran it.
I was focused on it was a cat driving. Mm-hmm. I never thought about opposing thumbs. Yeah.
couldn't grab. Slip off the cliff.
Yeah, instead of Matthew McConaughey for the new Lincoln spots, we were going to get a cat, but he couldn't roll a booger. What do you got on hold, Alfie?
Everyone's calling about Dorsey's funeral. Guy on line 3 says he'll fulfill your request.
What was my request?
Oh, you mean Dorsey's eulogy?
No, no. When Russ passes, you know, that kind of thing. Or if.
He'll call up and be ugly.
Yes.
Well, I don't need to hear it now. It'll ruin it.
Plus, it'll ruin Russ's day.
How about we, man, I hate to promote stuff. Blake going into the break, going into 5 o'clock. And about a half hour.
Sure.
Man, I hate doing that.
I know. I'm kind of surprised the words actually got out of your mouth.
Yeah, just say it. We'll play it before sometime before the end of the day.
Well, that was what we did on Monday, technically.
Yeah, we got busy with other stuff and did it after 7 o'clock. I'm sure people finally got to 7 and went, well, yeah, he's not doing it.
Yeah.
Alfie, do I actually need to take any of these if they're just saying they want to hear it?
They're saying they didn't hear it the first time. Please play it again. That's all they're saying.
Okay. Well, I don't need to talk to them then. You got any more audio before we break?
I do. You had mentioned our Google history and them coming to us and saying, hey, what have you been up to and why are you hiding this from us?
I like the way that HR phrased it. Look, I know who you work for. What the hell does that mean?
Well, there's actually someone quite prominent who's going through an issue of email problems. That's Hillary Clinton, the former Secretary of State. It was revealed just a couple of days ago that she used her personal email address while doing business as Secretary of State.
What's wrong with that?
Well, they see that as it looks like you're trying to hide something.
Oh, okay. I got it.
So this was her in a press conference yesterday, cut 13. Hillary Clinton finally addressed the controversy over her using a private email address while she was Secretary of State.
When I got to work as Secretary of State, I opted for convenience to use my personal email account, which was allowed by the State Department, because I thought it would be easier to carry just one device for my work and for my personal emails instead of two.
Not a good answer.
Well, it's not even an answer. This is just her basically a statement at a press conference.
I mean, that's not a good excuse.
Mm-hmm. That's one she's running with.
Because with my smartphone, I can access my KEGL email.
Yeah.
So, and it all goes into one folder. My Gmail, my Russ at RussMartin.com and KEGL, they go into one thing. So that excuse or that explanation is useless. What account was she using? Was it like Hillary at Cmail? Get it?
Yeah.
All right, we got a break. We'll be back.
We'll be back to the Russ Martin Show.
4:35, another check on traffic. Alfie Coy. Now listen, this is KEGL's Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ Eagle. Traffic is brought to you by Wendy's. Let's get started off in Fort Worth, westbound I-30, right at 35W, right there in the Fort Worth Mixmaster. Got an accident blocking the connector ramp there to 35W. Traffic's backed up back from Riverside Drive. In Haltom City, westbound 121, just before Minnis, got an accident blocking the left lane. Traffic's backed up back from East Loop 820. The same accident causing a backup onto 820 back from 183. Let's move into Collin County, southbound 75, just before Melissa Road in Melissa. Got some pothole repair blocking the left lane. Traffic's backed up back from Mantua Road. In Richardson, southbound 75, just before Arapahoe, got an accident there in the clearing stages. Traffic's backed up back from Renner Road. And finally, in Bald Springs, eastbound I-20, right at 635. Pothole repair there has the two right lanes shut down. Traffic is completely stopped back from Lancaster Road. It's about an hour delay through it. Subscribe to the Russ Martin Show audio and video archives at RussMartin.fm. Proceeds benefit the RMS Listeners Foundation. I'm Alfie Coy and the Eagles Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by TrueCar.com. Tonight, cloudy and 51. Tomorrow, some morning rain and then just good old-fashioned cloudy with a high of 65. Right now, it is 68 and 97.1 the Eagle.
Hi, I'm Shifty Gears. Do you get lonely out on those long-haul drives? Do you yearn for the touch of another? Are your friends on the CB just not cutting it? Well, fear no more, my friend. In conjunction with the kind folks at Pretty Little Dan, Inc., it is with great honor that I announce the Mighty Merle Sextile. It's made by SFM, Inc. Bank at Sexy F***ing Merle Incorporated, a wholly owned subsidiary of PLD. A Mighty Merle Sex Doll can satisfy all your nasty and filthy needs out on the open road. The Mighty Merle Sex Doll can be had for 72 easy payments of $13.77. That's only $2.71 a day. That's right. It's satisfying and cost-effective, too. With the Mighty Merle Sex Doll, you'll never worry about haggling with lot lizards ever again. Imagine the sweet glory of getting up into Mighty Merle's guts with one of the 6 pre-programmed songs. You'll never have to worry about feeling lonely with your good buddy, the Mighty Merle Sex Doll, at your side. Order now and get the Slick Leg Roy for free. Just pay an additional $83.99 shipping and handling. It's a Mighty Merle Sex Doll and Slick Leg Roy, both fine products of SFM, Inc. That's what I carry in my truck. Tell them your pal Shifty sent you. Thank you.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
All right, let's go back to the Hillary audio.
Okay. Yeah, it's cut 13. This was yesterday.
When I got to work as Secretary of State, I opted for convenience to use my personal email account, which was allowed by the State Department, because I thought it would be easier to carry just one device for my work and for my personal emails instead of two. Looking back, it would have been better for me to use 2 separate phones and 2 email accounts. I thought using one device would be simpler.
Is there nobody on her staff that can explain to her, you know, you can get all your email accounts on one phone?
The only thing that may semi put a wrench in that would be when she was Secretary of State, I think the government was using BlackBerries, and I'm not sure if you could have different apps on a BlackBerry at the time.
Okay.
But
2 separate.
Hmm?
Even still, if you didn't like the BlackBerry or it didn't allow you to carry more than one, you still could have gotten something else.
Phones and 2 email accounts. I thought using one device would be simpler, and obviously it hasn't worked out that way. The laws and regulations in effect when I was Secretary of State allowed me to use my email for work. That is undisputed.
I think I saw a story related to this, to where she said, you know, take all of the emails from my personal account and release them. Anything that was work related.
Yeah, the cut 14, this is Hillary Clinton saying she gave the State Department all of her work related emails, and then she says she deleted personal stuff. Which doesn't help her case.
Yeah. No.
No,
after
swear.
I left office, the State Department asked former secretaries of state for our assistance in providing copies of work-related emails from our personal accounts. I responded right away and provided all my emails that could possibly be work-related, which totaled roughly 55,000 printed pages, even though I knew that the State Department already had the vast majority of them. We went through a thorough process to identify all of my work-related emails and deliver them to the State Department. At the end, I chose not to keep my private personal emails, emails about planning Chelsea's wedding or my mother's funeral arrangements, condolence notes to friends, as well as yoga routines, family vacations, the other things you typically find in inboxes.
All the memes about Lewinsky.
All
the Monica Lewinsky memes I made. I'm a big Redditor.
Typically find in inboxes. No one wants their personal emails made public, and I think most people understand that and respect that privacy.
Something else she could have done if she ever thought this, possibly because it was permissible to have your own email, your personal email account. She didn't think, all right, I need to keep copies of this for the government.
Mm-hmm.
All you had to do is just copy yourself on every email you sent from your personal account to your business, to your government account.
Yeah.
That way, everything's in plain view.
And that's what bothers me about all this type of stuff is,
although if she's still using, you know, I gave them everything except the stuff I deleted.
Right. There are still easy fixes to this. And this is what's part of the problem is this is coming from someone who's already been criticized for possibly covering things up like what happened in Benghazi. And under the same administration that said, oh, all those emails with the IRS and the chick was overseeing who's investigating tea parties. Oh, we lost all those. And a few minutes later, hey, we found 40,000 of them.
What do you got on hold, Alfie?
Those are people who say they work for the government.
Okay. Yes, Greg. What did Greg want?
Greg was saying that he works for the Department of Homeland Security, and you're not allowed to have more than one account on one device.
Okay. But she still could have CC'd herself on anything that was work-related. It still looks squirrely. So, okay. Well, then that is a good explanation of, all right, I got to have two devices, one for the government, one for my personal stuff.
She should have just gone with the two devices as instead of going with what she thought was easiest.
Go ahead, Nate. Nate. Greg.
I think they chickened out.
Okay. I just want to make sure I had everything mashed on the console that I needed. I don't care. I mean, why all of a sudden is this a big deal?
It's a big deal because it's Hillary Clinton, and it's a chance for the Republicans to smear her and to show that once again she can't be trusted and therefore keeping the Democrats out of the White House.
Did anybody else in the government have personal email accounts that they do business on?
I don't know. I think for the most part, usually with Congress, they keep most of that stuff that's supposed to be a matter of public record. They usually fall in line with that stuff because they know if they don't, it's going to be a political problem. Because then all your opponents can say, what's he hiding? Maybe he's a terrorist. How do we know if he's not a terrorist? Because he hid all of his emails from us. Now you're a terrorist who hides things from the American people. Good job. You're now out of a job.
And as far as the, well, you know, I just went ahead and gave him all my, everything from my personal account except anything I deleted. Well, that there's absolutely no good there.
Right. That's what I would do if I was trying to hide stuff. I'd say, oh, no. It's personal. Benghazi talking points. She buried those in the middle of Chelsea's wedding planning.
Did she solely use one device for all her government communiques?
I guess so.
She said 55,000 printed pages.
At least one at a time. I don't know if she went through multiple devices or not.
Well, it doesn't sound like she was using her government account that much.
Mm-mm.
If you've got 55,000 pages of emails.
Right. I think even at one point, I think the Associated Press has filed a lawsuit with the government saying, we'd like all those emails now.
Okay. Give me a minute.
Let me just send that in a zip file.
Okay. You got more to audio? You want to start news?
Yeah, I got something else. Cut 16, the Academy of Country Music Awards is coming up on April 19th, and that's going to be held at Jerry World in Arlington. And it's hosted by Blake Shelton and Luke Bryan.
This is it, AT&T Stadium, home of the Dallas Cowboys, and this year, host of the Academy of Country Music Awards.
Celebrating 50 years on the 50-yard line.
Hey, you boys, get off my lawn.
The Academy of Country Music Awards, live on CBS, Sunday, April.
That's Luke and Blake?
Yeah.
Didn't sound like Luke at the beginning.
Well, that's a little different. It's not his usual. Hey. Yeah.
This is it, AT&T Stadium, home of the Dallas Cowboys.
That's Luke.
Yeah, this is it, AT&T Stadium.
Cowboys, and this year, host of the Academy of Country Music Awards.
Celebrating 50 years on the 50-yard line.
Hey, you boys, get off my lawn.
The Academy of Country Music Awards.
So at this
point. In the video, is he throwing rocks at him?
No, he was holding a microphone. So then it shows Jerry up in the stands in front of his box suite. Then it cuts to the two guys on the field, and above them on the Jumbotron is Jumbo Jerry. He's now on the Jumbotron looking down at Blake and Luke and giving his Jerry wink.
Should have had him throwing rocks.
I think that'd have been better. Man, that old man hit me with rocks. Hit me in the head, and I actually knew how to multiply.
Invite me out to do this promo, and then Jerry Jones chunks bricks at us like Ernest T. Bass.
I mean, that's just not right. It scared Blake half to death. We had to console ourselves and some Ardmore strippers.
Has the jury come back on the NFL lawsuit yet about Super Bowl and the seats?
I haven't seen them come to a conclusion on that yet.
I think it's gone to the jury. I think everybody's testified. I want to say Jerry was the last one to testify.
Yeah, he was one of the last ones. At one point, I think the judge had to tell him to actually answer the question as opposed to his normal rambling and just kind of going off into his own diatribe. Well, relative to and blah, blah, blah.
Do you have any recollection of how many people were displaced or pissed off initially? Because I know only 7 people are suing the NFL.
I don't know the initial number. I know the initial number of people that were upset because they did not get their proper seats was, I want to say, around 40, 50, something like that, maybe even more. But see, some of the people that didn't get their seats that they had initially paid for got obstructed view seats. Some were just completely left out. And then a couple others somehow were able to work their way into a suite somewhere.
Well, and that would have been the right thing to do, is say, you know, go into a suite, have Jerry walk into one of the suites and explain to the people, hey, we screwed this guy over. How about if I take some pictures with you guys?
Yeah.
And do you mind if these 2 people sit in your suite?
Right.
That probably would have been the end of it. But obviously, if, you know, we'll say it was 50 people and at least 7 were suing, then the NFL did a pretty good job of satisfying most of the people.
Yeah, but then you get the ones that are just, you know, obviously not going to give in. They want to make sure the NFL doesn't do this again because it's a big, powerful, you know, group. Can't say company. Big, powerful group that makes billions and billions of dollars, and it doesn't like sharing it a whole lot. And so you had – what a lot of people didn't realize is the people initially were saying – you know, this is Jerry Jones' fault. Greedy Jerry Jones, blah, 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 that old bastard. Blah. They didn't know that just because you host the Super Bowl doesn't mean you have a whole lot of control of it in your stadium. It's an NFL event. The NFL does the tickets. They do everything. They decide how many tickets there are going to be and who's going to receive them.
So you don't think Jerry had any inkling that these seats weren't? I think the seats were in place, they just weren't secured properly, so it wasn't safe for the people to sit in them.
Right.
You don't think Jerry had any inkling? Because if somebody putting something in my stadium,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to want to know.
I would think so, but I don't know. The Jerry's also a guy who's very smart. He would know that certain things shouldn't reach him.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, they're putting seats in the stadium.
It's like, really?
I'm a billionaire.
Everything?
Yeah. Well, you want me to help unfold them?
Right. It's like, can you imagine being the guy that sends, like, you're the project manager of this, and you have to send Jerry Jones an email saying, we're having a problem with the seats, and Jerry's going to come back and say, you having a problem with chairs, son? Yeah. You're bothering me with chairs.
Okay, if I'm going to play the Dorsey eulogy again, I got to do it now to be able to stay on time.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, you made a face at me at the end of the eulogy.
I did?
Yeah. Like when it got to the Amazing Grace part?
Oh, yeah.
You made that face like I went too far.
Because I was worried that maybe you did.
Was it too much?
No. For me, it's a personal thing. I don't know. For most people that I know, we all have the same reaction when you hear Amazing Grace. It's you could be
military, police, fire.
It's sudden, just boom, tears. Because I also take it all the way back to when my grandma died when I was like 7. They played that version of Amazing Grace, so it's already a trigger on me. You play it, I cry. That was the look I gave you.
Oh.
Which is sort of like, great, you're going to make me cry, you jerk.
It just looked like the face came across as, really?
It was the look of, really? You're going to make me cry?
Well, I asked Alfie. I let him hear it before I did the eulogy. And he was a little iffy on it.
It caught me off guard. That was it. The horse galloping away was cool. But then the Amazing Grace kicks in, and you're just like, oh, damn, it just, I don't know, something, oh, the reality just kind of hits you.
Okay. You guys ready?
Yeah.
I said today, praise God, today there is a new Maserati
driving on the golden streets of heaven. Praise Jesus.
Amen.
I said one less Maserati here on earth and one more in heaven. Praise God. Terry Dorsey from KSCS passed away over the weekend. We lost a broadcast icon who won every major award that radio had to offer, including Billboard Magazine's Local Personality of the Year. He was inducted into the Country Music Disc Jockey Hall of Fame, praise God. Me, I still ain't one sh**.
No, you haven't.
Terry Dorsey, died this past Saturday night, March 7th, 2015, at 5:42. 18 minutes before 6. I'm sorry.
He love his time, chicks.
Dude, I'm sorry.
Don't be. Between him and Scott Sams, but really to me, Terry's the king because he could do that math in a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm. I would hope Hawkeye would appreciate that the most.
I bet he, yes. Yeah, somewhere I'm sure Mark is giggle crying.
Plug him with Chuck.
Yeah.
All right. Then you want one?
Yeah, I'll do
one. You should.
I'll do one in honor of Mr. Terry.
For Terry.
Yeah. Offie, you like watching us drink?
Yeah, I guess.
I said Terry Dorsey. Died this past Saturday night, March 7, 2015, at 5:42, 18 minutes before 6. We on this show always referred to him as a Maserati.
That's right.
Not only because of his exotic good looks,
yummy.
But because he was a top of the line of broadcasters, praise God.
Amen, bro.
That's right. Mm-hmm. He is sports crop.
A man who chose Texas to spend most of his career, could have gone anywhere, but chose North Texas to plant his flag. He made us laugh with his Deacon Paul Brown bit, his college of I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm. Love that.
And of course, his very own, from his very own binary.
Is that a word?
Binary is a word.
Okay.
That's where they got grapes. From his very own binary, his own brand of Heine wine. What do you put in your Heine?
That's magic.
And I'm sure there are some people who don't mind his passing. Maybe like Vern Lundquist.
Oh, yeah.
Vern used to host Bowling for Dollars on Channel 8 until Terry stole it away from him. Then Terry hosted it. Hi. Stole it from him like a Hawaiian shirt wearing thief in the night, praise God.
Somehow he's bringing it in.
Terry very seldom made mention of it, but he proudly served our country in the Vietnam War as a tank or a wall or something like that. And what I learned from Mr. Dorsey was that you can bond one-on-one with listeners, praise Jesus, and make them feel like they truly know you. Unlike me, I ain't sitting in your car trying to make you like me. You get on my damn nerves. In fact, Get out of the damn car right now.
Rest don't like you.
He told me to jump out of my own car. Well, I was driving. I was driving the car, and I didn't have no sugar in my blood. Can I at least stop for some citrus? Let me back up.
Car right now. But Terry Dorsey, praise God, made his listeners feel like they were part of his family. Which is the true essence of a broadcaster who gets it, especially in this day of automation. Praise Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah. Yeah. Oh, you say that again?
Terry Dorsey was a true essence of a broadcaster who gets it in this day of automation. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah.
Right up here where it gets to the losing a friend,
mm-hmm.
It's where I about lost it.
Yeah, I could hear it in your voice.
For you see, listeners don't miss voice guys.
Mm-mm.
listeners, don't miss fancy production elements, stupid ticket giveaways, and 30-minute music sweeps. They miss their friends. And that's what Terry became to us. He was our tubby, gap-toothed, Hawaiian shirt-wearing friend. And praise Jesus, I miss him already. But today, praise God, there's an extra sheriff in town. And now, Jesus Christ can gallop with the best. Goodbye, boss.
.5 This is KEGL, Fort Worth, Dallas, Texas. Another check on traffic. Alpi Coys and Eagles Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by Burger King. Traffic is okay, but the parts that suck really do suck. Let's start off in Balch Springs, eastbound I-20, right at 635. Got some pothole repair blocking the two right lanes. Traffic there is completely stopped. This is all the way back from I-35. You're looking at an hour and a half delay through it. Traffic is completely jacked up. And in Royce City, westbound I-30, right at FM 35, road construction has the various lanes stopped. They're either doing pothole repair as well. Traffic's completely stopped back from FM 36. If you see an accident out there, call the Allstate Traffic Tip Line. Phone number's 214-866-8888. I'm Alfie Coy and the Eagles Black Thunder.
From the Staples Weather Center, brought to you by Don Davis Auto Group. Eagle weather tonight, cloudy and 51. Tomorrow, some morning rain, then just good old-fashioned cloudy by the afternoon with a high of 65. Right now, 66 at 97.1 The Eagle.
Cram it up your ass. The Russ Martin Show.
KEGL, The Eagle.
What do you got, Alfie? They called about the video stream because the internet's down in here again.
I've only gotten one call about that, but everyone else is calling about
it. Well, I'm glad to know it's very popular.
Well, I think you've scared everyone away from, you know, complaining.
That's what I'm saying. I've only gotten one complaint. Everyone else is too timid. Everything else is about Dorsey.
Oh. All right. Yes, Daniel.
Really, people?
I swear to God, I've used these phones before.
Daniel!
Is it Sierra?
Yes.
Thank you. What can I do for you, sweetie?
I wanted to tell you that I heard the end of the eulogy, and I just almost started crying. I wanted to tell you that you have a heart, and if I ever doubted it, which I really didn't that much, but it was right there, and I'm so sorry for the loss of your friend.
He was a good guy.
Yeah, no, I listened to him since my teenage years, so I'm pretty old, so... but, you know, it touched me, and I just wanted you to know that. I just thought that you should know.
That's very kind of you. I appreciate it.
Well, and just, you're a good guy. Have a great day, okay?
Thank you, whore.
Really?
They know the rules. You could say I have a heart.
Because technically
Obviously,
you
do. I cry when police and fire fall.
Mm-hmm.
When animals are abused.
Yep.
And when certain friends die.
Certain friends?
Well.
Are there some friends where you're not going to cry?
I'm planning on it. I'm planning on them dying. But there will be no choking up.
At least not on your
behalf? Or your part?
Nope.
Maybe just some good old-fashioned choking?
I hope that's the way they die. Did you know who Terry Dorsey was, Dr. Thornton?
I've heard you talk about him before. I never listened to him, so I don't have any real, you know, vivid idea of him. But
well, there's something blocking, Doctor. Is there something in his face? Okay, that's all right. Don't worry about it. Leave it alone. You've done too much already.
But you knew him as a radio guy.
Yeah, I knew that he did that, and I've heard you talk about him in the Ferrari thing or the
Maserati
thing.
Yeah. Hot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exotic.
But no, I was not familiar with his work.
Yeah. But you knew he'd been in this market for a long time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's what I don't get. Why did they – there are some program directors that get it and some don't. If somebody that's been in the market for a long time dies, but you work for another station, it's like, all right, you don't need to be talking about this. Like I said Monday, either it's a community or it's not.
Right.
You didn't have to listen to him to appreciate what he did for North Texas, and that he wasn't born here. He picked this place and then planted himself here.
And he did.
I sure would like to move out, but I got too big. Plus, I got to steal bowling for dollars from Vern Lundquist. And I bet there's only three people that remember that Terry hosted Bowling for Dollars.
So I wanted to ask you about that. Did he actually steal it from Vern?
He lobbied for it.
Okay.
I don't know if Vern had tired of it. I can't even remember what year it was.
But you think it's possible that somewhere in a network broadcast booth, Vern's still saying he wishes he was doing Bowling for Dollars?
Had I not lost that Bowling for Dollars, I'd have made it onto the network a lot sooner.
Damn this SEC broadcast.
And Dorsey was one of the few people that understood that it's... I mean, they play a lot of music, or played whatever, on Dorsey's show. But he also knew how to communicate one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like I said in the eulogy, people don't, you know, format changes. Well, hope the voice guy's going to be okay.
I'll be fine.
You don't befriend voice guys,
no,
or music sweeps or ticket giveaways. The whole idea of radio is to be a companion. That's why you don't say, one of the things I learned from Ron Chapman, you don't say, hey, you guys, or whatever. It's supposed to be a one-on-one conversation. Or, you know, hey, gang. It's like, well, you look around your car, it's just me. I thought they were just talking to, the whole idea is for the listener to think that you're talking directly to them. And at this point, I am. You people are f-ing idiots. Thank you.
Hey, that went against everything you just said.
No, it's not. I made them feel like I was talking directly to that person.
Yes, you. The moron. In the Tercel.
He is talking about me! My God!
Actually, you'd make it a broader-based thing. You, yeah. You and the GM.
Yeah. I would just, anytime I think of idiot listeners, I think of the guy in the black Toyota Tercel that claims it's the Batmobile.
The one that stole a license plate from me.
Mm-hmm.
What a dick.
The license plate you wanted for your actual Batmobile, but no.
I had it and I forgot and let it lapse for, I'm going to say a couple of months, and all of a sudden then it's back up on, you know, my plates. And I found the posting. I forgot how I found it. Oh, I looked at the plate. And then I found some post that the guy who got my plate. Yeah, I don't know who had it before, but I got it and I registered it for 10 years. I'm going to drive to Houston or Austin, wherever you are. I'm going to beat your ass.
Well, why? It's your fault.
But I like, well, I don't want to give out the plate and have somebody go after him. But I like the one that I had.
I understand that you like the one you had, but if you, you know, you're the one that let it go.
Go to one of the tea plates. You know what that is?
That's where they have the tea and
over on the far left.
Yeah.
And it's actually part of the plate number, but they kind of make it look like it just means Texas.
Right. I've seen some people do their vanity plate thing where they'll incorporate that letter into whatever they're putting on it. Like, I think I saw
wonder
one.
If my plates would catch it if you just said you wanted, all right, you wanted a tea plate.
Yeah.
And then you just said, I want the plate to be ain't.
Mm-hmm. Or am, think, or ampon.
Yeah. You think they'd catch that?
I think so.
Erd.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What is line one, Alfie?
He's calling about something Hawkeye said yesterday morning.
Tuesday morning?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead, Alex.
Hey, yeah, I was going to let you know, yesterday morning, Hawkeye was talking about it on the show. He was really praising Clear Channel because they had apparently put out billboards all around the Metroplex about Terry. And then I know Monday morning I listened, and he did say that, you know, you – talk to him personally over the weekend.
Well, I talked to him. I wasn't looking for airtime. I just wanted to
He didn't say he talked to you on the radio. He just said that he made it a point to mention. He said Russ Martin. I talked to him. He calls and he was just naming off some of the people that had called and paid their condolences.
Wow, that was kind of him. All right, thank you, boss. There in itself, you have a fact that we share listeners with country stations.
Laud.
I'm telling you, that's why our ratings went. We were number one by a larger margin this last go around. It's the damn Merle. Never understood. That's okay. The stream's down and I hit the delay.
Yeah.
So nobody heard anything. Okay.
Well, speaking of that, Dr. Thornton, did you hear the big announcement the other day?
No, I did not.
You want to move that mic closer to your mouth?
Oh, okay. No, I did not.
Well, you can move the mic up. You don't have to slouch. That feel better?
Yeah.
Billy Bob's Texas in Fort Worth.
Uh-huh.
Called us. And according to Chris Spinks, the PR guy for Billy Bob's, we were the first one. He called to make the announcement. Tell him, Dan.
Merle is coming July 3rd.
All right. All right.
Calls Rock Station.
Oh, cool. Called you.
And I'm sure at this point.
That is awesome.
You listening. They're thinking one of two things. Either this is some big bit that we back-timed. I bet Russ got drunk during the Christmas vacation and sang Merle, knowing that Merle was coming to Billy Bob's.
Mm-mm.
July 3rd weekend.
It'd be nice if they gave us that much credit, but not only do we not know what we're going to do 3 months from now, we don't necessarily know what we're going to do 3 minutes from now.
That's right. Yeah, I'm just watching the second hand on the clock going, all right, what's next?
And you're not the type to sit on something either.
No, you. No, you get something you're excited about. It's time to open it and play with it.
So they were even thinking that it was, you know, a big scheme leading back to December. I forgot what the other one was. Or were the stations flipping to country?
Interesting thought.
Not. Because the other day parts are doing just dandy. Oh, we're carrying the station. But they're all doing fine, the other day parts. And I knew that was going to happen sooner or later at CBS because at one point we were the only ones doing well. And I knew that that couldn't last because you can't have, you know, however many talk shows they had. 1, 2, 3, 4. You couldn't have several talk shows and only have one doing well.
Right.
I even started having dreams about a format change, and I told Gavin about it about a month before they changed the format.
Yeah, but that was awkward for him. He's like, oh my God, he knows.
Because he knew at the time it was coming.
Mm-hmm. Well, they also had changed, they'd also altered the logo and some of the station imaging, the promos.
But the only thing I don't like is they didn't trust us to say goodbye.
Yeah.
That is true. They didn't.
Unless it was a corporate edict.
More than likely it was. Because that's how it usually works whenever you get fired is everyone knows. And then when you find out, it's when you get fired. And everyone else around you is known for a while. I don't know if you caught on to this, though, because in the past, like, I think when Bo and Jim had were taken off the air one station, John Dillon was, you invited them on to say goodbye to their listeners.
Yeah, when we were still at CBS, yeah. Different company.
Exactly. But then when we all got taken off the air at CBS, no one at any other radio station said, hey, Russ, you should come on our show and say goodbye to your listeners because that's what you would do for us.
I never thought about that.
Really?
Mother.
Yeah.
You seriously never thought about that?
No.
That was one of the first things I thought of after a couple of months. I think it may be because I was going through old best of segments or something, and then I came across it and was like, yeah, no one's asked Russ, as far as I was aware, to come on to say goodbye.
Yeah. I heard from Mark Davis. I want to say it was the day that they pulled us off the air. He said, well, now that you got some free time, let's get together and do lunch. And that was December of 08. That was the last time I've heard from him.
He must be really, really busy.
That never really flashed on me. Nobody gave us the opportunity.
And I think my guess is...
Personally, I don't think I would have. I would have appreciated it, but I don't think I would have taken him up on the offer.
Well, and
I don't know why. Maybe it's an ego thing. I don't know. You want to say goodbye to the people that are listening at that point. Because after you're in a certain day part for a period of time, you get very proprietary about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it took us, you know, when they said, hey, when Patrick said, do you want to move here at the Eagle? You want to move from mornings to afternoons? That's why it took us, you know, the 8 seconds to think, well, you know, there are, yes.
Bye, suckers.
But there is, you will not let this go to your head, you listening, because you're still a dumb. But there is a bond that you feel like that there exists with the listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Where if they, it's like with Terry Dorsey. You know that place in Arlington. In fact, I got a text from Hawkeye telling me exactly where it's going to be. I think the chick on the phone was right. That church in Arlington is going to be packed full of listeners. Funeral is on Saturday, 1 p.m., Lake Arlington Baptist Church, 2912 Little Road, Arlington. Visitation. And we sent out a correction. So I don't know when visitation is. I think visitation is Friday from 6 to 8 at night at the Moore Funeral Home in Arlington.
Mm-hmm. And you said the service is Saturday?
You open it back up. Saturday, 1 p.m., Lake Arlington Baptist Church. You know the place is going to be packed with listeners.
Yes.
Only because Terry was able to communicate over the air that I'm your buddy. You know, everybody's got Hawaiian shirt-wearing friends that are exotic looking.
Yes.
Let me see if I can find that clip since Chloe enjoys it so much. We were talking about people hot, like, you know, I go out with her, she's Terry Dorsey hot. I think that was the context.
Yeah.
And I say, is she Terry Dorsey hot? I mean exotic.
Gotcha.
Who just wheezed? There was no Maserati mention in there. And Chloe sounded like wasn't that you?
Yeah.
Sounded like an Ooga horn.
Yeah.
And I say, is she Terry Dorsey hot? I mean exotic.
Gotcha.
Who
just wheezed.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, absolutely. A car going down the dirt road back in the 30s.
Like a Maserati.
Like a Maserati. All right. Oh, we got a break again.
Mm-hmm.
Did we come out of that last break late?
A little bit, yes.
What did we talk about this break? This segment.
Terry.
And?
Maseratis.
Billy Bob's.
Yeah, that. And Merle's coming. Dr. Thornton's extremely excited.
But that is, if there is a lesson that all broadcasters should learn from Ron Chapman and from the late Terry Dorsey, is the companionship in the car, that's paramount. And if you don't have that, then you're useless. You're nothing more than just an MP3 player. Not many people get upset if they lose their iPod.
No. I mean, it bothers you if you drop it in a toilet.
But it was a... Is the word salient?
I don't know.
Use it in a sentence.
It was a salient point?
Yes.
Yes.
That's good.
Very good.
To the point where Dan said, can you say that again?
It needed repeating. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, you're a broadcaster who believes in doing something live?
It would seem to be broadcasting 101.
It's supposed to be, but it's... There are some people, I'm not saying anybody up here, there are some people that just aren't excited about being on the air. For the days I don't feel good, couldn't give a rat's ass less. But the days that I do feel good, I look forward to coming to work every day. And it's never let's just text this one in. See? That's new school.
That is very good.
Mm-hmm. It's just, to them, it's just... A lot of jocks, it's just a job. It's not supposed to be a job. I about lost my mind while we were off the air. Go over to the automotive shop I owned and do bits for them.
Oh, God. Yeah, I didn't think about it at the time, and I'm kind of mad about it now. But when I was, in the meantime, I was having to make a living. When I was doing shows at the Fan, I should have called you up and been, hey, I need a co-host for the evening. Perhaps it's Dan and Shifty Gears doing the Rangers postgame show.
Did you really think me, Shifty Gears, is going to know anything about sports?
You don't need to, Shifty.
What do you want me to talk about? How come is it they don't, ain't nobody players named Merle?
It doesn't even matter if you know what sport we're talking about, Shifty. Just... It just would have been fun to play with that a little bit.
Chloe, do I have about a minute?
If you want.
You hear the latest Shifty Gears show?
I have not.
Okay. It's about a minute long.
It's Overnight Trucking Show with Shifty Gears on the Mighty 1190. Well, welcome our new sponsor, where you can get really, really bad food, but get your hair colored at the same time. At Eat and Die, you can get grub and get that special Conway Twitty coloring haircut. Being a Conway, here's him. It's the Shifty Gear Show. This is Ronnie Millsap on the Mighty 1190. What I want to know is, how does a blind man play the piano without missing a beat when you got people driving cars who hit it all the f***ing time?
Pure love. Baby, it's pure.
It's the Overnight Trucking Show with Shifty Gears on the Mighty 1190. If you're on the road for a long haul, you know, coffee don't always work. Sometimes you need some anal stimulation. That's why I carry the Big Rig Dando. Its special vibrating feature keeps you alert and goes right up your behind.
Big wheels rolling. Big wheels rolling.
All right, we'll be back.
We'll be back to the Russ Martin Show.
Five 5:39, another check on traffic. Alfie Coy.
using KEGL's Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ Eagle. Traffic brought to you by TrueCar.com. Let's get started off in Fort Worth, southbound 35W, just before Meacham Boulevard. The road there is completely shut down. Sorry, the service road there is completely shut down due to an accident. Traffic there is jacked up in the area. And Arlington westbound 20, right at New York Avenue, got an accident blocking the left lane. Traffic there is backed up, back to the bush. Also in Arlington, southbound 360, right at Abrams Street, got some, I think, medical marijuana protesters out there. People are staring at them, honking at them, you know, generally being morons. They have traffic backed up back from Trinity Boulevard. And finally, in Bald Springs, east on I-20, right at 635, got some pothole repair blocking the two right lanes. Traffic's completely stopped back from I-35. You're looking at an hour and a half delay through it. Don't even bother. Try taking Loop 12 or something like that. The Russ Martin Show audio and video archives. Sorry, subscribe to the Russ Martin Show audio and video archives at russmartin.fm. All proceeds benefit the Russ Martin Show Listeners Foundation. I'm Alfie Coy in the Eagles Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by Account Temps. Cloudy skies tonight, 51 for a low. Tomorrow, rain in the morning, along with a high of 65. Right now, 66. At 97.1, the Eagle.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
Well, the reason I'm reading this email is because a lot of people think, well, if I just go up and thank a cop, it's not going to be one person. It's not going to make that big of a deal.
Okay.
I wanted to thank you, you guys, for opening up my eyes to all that our local police do for us. Growing up, I always hated the police since I was such a dick.
See?
And I was always in trouble. But as I grew up and realized how important and great they really are, my view of them has changed. Now, every time I see an officer, EMS, firefighter, I take time out of whatever I'm doing just to thank them for risking their lives to protect us. Just today, I thanked an officer in Tacubaya, told him how grateful I am that he puts his life on the line on a daily basis to protect us. He told me he does it because he loves it. And on days that he's doubting his decision, someone always comes up and thanks him and reminds him why he does it.
That's awesome.
Thank you for allowing me to share, Jeremy.
Did you at least buy him a party burrito?
I don't know.
Because they're only like 79 cents. You got no excuse.
Here, a lot of too many cops at like Whataburger or Taco Bueno. Like,
there's a couple of Addison cops I've seen on my way home. I'll stop by the Chipotle on Beltline, and I'll see them in there. And last time it was a male and a female officer. And I'm like, what have you got into a foot chase? They had like the big bag of chips, a bowl. I think the female officer had a bowl, and then the male officer had one of those gargantuan Chipotle burritos. I'm like, there is no way in hell you're going to be able to catch anybody.
Can you even see your gun?
Every time I see a cop eating out.
Once you want an email from somebody, I ran into a cop or a fireman at Whole Foods.
It's almost every time I see an officer at eating somewhere, I always think, no matter what they're eating, is, man, I hope there's not a foot pursuit coming up.
Yeah, you would at least wait 2 hours or so for this stuff to
digest. It's like, can you imagine getting the call in as soon as you get back?
Forget about the food that they're eating. It, like, if they eat that much on a regular basis, they're exotic looking.
But I always think that. I mean, then you would think if a call comes in right after they just ate, let's say it's lunch, and they're going to have to say, sorry, dispatch, you're going to have to get somebody else that hadn't eaten.
We're napping right now in the squad.
I never realized it, but you're right. One of the baddest looking cops that I know, I guess, works off duty at a Whole Foods in Dallas. The guy looks like Blade, like Wesley Snipes. He's just the baddest MF-er around.
Yeah, and Officer Arnold in Plano. I've seen him at Mexican restaurants, but he's pumped. I worked out with him once.
One time.
I walked in and he had like he was on the bench where you push weights in the air.
Yeah, bench press.
Thank you. He had like a couple of 120-pound dumbbells doing reps.
Yeah.
Not one time, reps.
Yeah, yeah. Arnold's a masher.
I met him one time, shook his hand, and realized that there is a man that likes to work out.
Some days I don't even carry my gun.
He just carries a 45-pound plate.
I don't need them. I got these. In my hands. Shoot at me, I catch it in my mouth. And I look at him and I go, don't do that.
And then you let him go with a warning? Because actually, if I shot at a cop and he caught it with his bullet and said, don't do that, I think that's where I would lay down my arms and say, I believe I've decided to turn over a new leaf. This is the moment.
Yeah, listening to your show, I turned my perception on cops. I even stopped one day and I picked up a police officer hitchhiking.
Really? Why was a police officer hitchhiking?
Ask me where it was.
Where was the police officer hitchhiking?
Euless.
They found that car.
They didn't find it with a cop in it.
No, they didn't. They found it down the road after the guy had already left it.
Alfie, what's line one?
He's calling about your dipping habits.
Oh. Yes, Bryson.
Hey, I was just going to say earlier in the show when y'all were talking about, you know, dipping and all that kind of stuff, and you said you don't really get a buzz from it anymore. And what I was just going to let you know is that depending on what you dip, like certain brands like Copenhagen have higher nicotine levels.
Oh,
than...
no, I'm not doing Copenhagen.
He can't do it. No, he can't do it, Bryson.
That's first of all, the taste is, no offense to the Copenhagen people, but is nastier than just regular tobacco. Plus, that's Copenhagen. That's just real mancho.
And there's different flavors too. Like if you do like regular Copenhagen snuff, I'll agree with you, man. That tastes like dirt. But if you actually go with what I do, it's called straight. It actually has a good flavor to it. The cut is good. It's not like fine cut. It's not going to get all over your mouth and travel and everything. And you know, like I said, there's higher nicotine levels.
I don't even think I'm looking for the nicotine thing anymore. I think it's like what Dan said. It's just habit. So if, you know, I can replace it with something else that's non-carcinogenic, I might as well go that way.
Yep.
Right.
But you keep and on you with your Copenhagen.
Oh, yes, sir.
All right, then.
All right, man. Take it.
Who was it up here? Was it Jacob?
Yes.
I think he did Copenhagen.
Yeah. Like, take a big old pinch out of there. Like, how many? Wow.
Yeah. How do you do that? And he'd look at you and say, I'm a man.
How much do you put in your lip? Looks like you got a Tangelo in there. Is that nicotine or you need some citrus?
One day he just put the whole can in there.
I've never had a. I think all of mine now is just. Whatever I happen to be doing. Because days I'm out sick, I don't eat it. I don't think about it. Uh-uh.
To me, it's a treehouse trigger for you.
I suppose. Kind of got used to it looking at porn.
Uh-oh.
One day I was out, and porn just wasn't enjoyable that day.
And there's so many different ways we can go here.
Yeah, I thought, do I have any cough drops or something I can just stick in my lip?
I want to do something sexual, but I need something to suck on.
Well, it's not sucking on it, just having it in your lip.
Okay.
Just the association. All I had was Rolaid, and that just didn't cut it.
That's not as sexy.
No. Well, I don't think, first of all, looking at porn is pathetic to begin with. But having, you know, chowing in your mouth, that's just one step away from it.
What do you mean, it?
The epitome of patheticism.
like it's a whole process you got to sit down for. All right, sit down. I got my chaw. I got all this.
Got my favorite websites pulled up.
And your spit cup.
Got that. Got my wash rag. Everything's got to be exactly where it needs to be. Anything's out of place, my day is shot.
I'm worried about at some point, if it carries over from you watching porn into actual having sex with a person, you're going to need a dip in. And most
now
chicks
aren't. That hasn't come up. with my weekend visits.
Okay. I was just wondering.
Yeah.
Because if at some point you got to say.
Because you can't kiss them if you got something in your mouth.
No.
Although they'll try and kiss you if they got something in their mouth. Like, no, uh-uh. Moment's done. My interest in you is in your mouth right now.
Next thing you know, she's chasing you around the house for a change.
Kiss me. Let's snowball it. We do. I saw that one time on a porn video where the chick snowballed back to the guy. No. Dude, how did you?
I'm not. I've seen it with the chick to the chicken. Even then, I'm like, ew. You just keep it.
I didn't go back and watch it again. There might have been a cutaway shot to where maybe she, got some milk or something and spit it in his mouth.
I don't think so.
I don't know who that appeals to. Something like that. I got it by accident on my face one time. I think it was I was dating Rachel, and she would fake her orgasm, and
as per usual,
and then I would remove about the time I'm about to,
yeah,
and then she would grab it and yank on it.
Yeah,
I really liked that, but one time it went too far and got me.
She got all crazy.
Why would she get crazy?
I'm just saying. Yo.
Yeah, was she like waving it around the room?
Well, it was just it doesn't matter how it happened. It hit me in the.
You were your own casualty.
She might have done it on purpose because when she was manipulating it during that moment, she would dodge her head back and forth so it wouldn't hit her. Oh wait, you can point it in one direction and move your head in the other. And I guess it was just funny to her to possibly aim it at me.
Mm-hmm.
Here. Yeah.
It's enough if, you accidentally get it on yourself or whatever, and you're screaming, get it off, lick it, do something. Give me the wash rag first. Ugh, I hate that.
At least you didn't hit yourself in your own eye.
It got pretty close. That is just a nasty feeling.
Right up your own nose. The farmer hanky.
Just imagine how it got in my mouth.
Shut up, man. Just shut up.
Oh, yeah.
How did you die?
Okay. We got a couple minutes if you want to start news, if you got more audio.
I got some more audio.
Okay.
This is actually a fairly big deal in the Luke Bryan universe. He's got his next spring break concert stuff coming up, and he's released a new song, Cut Number 10. He released a video for his new song, Spring Breakdown, on his album Spring Break. Check it out.
Number 10.
Mm-hmm.
I see it.
I remember when we started this week-long party, and to think that it's over, it makes me want a spring break down. Just thinking about our good times together, and how we rock this town.
Is this new?
Yes.
Or is it a hit?
It's new, and I think this album is number one on iTunes. Because I saw a video earlier of him thanking fans. And, hey, y'all, it's Luke Bryan. Just want to say thanks for making the new Spring Break album number one on iTunes. And right now I'm in a construction trailer, but that'll be the topic of a different video later. But I can't wait to get down to Spring Break to see y'all next week, and I love you. That's pretty good for only watching it one time.
Does he write most of his own stuff?
He writes a lot of it.
He's not really...
What, you don't think I'm a lyricist? I'm spring breaking down. What'd you do? Why don't you give me your best lyric, radio man?
Really?
Yeah.
You want to go that route?
Let's do it.
Let's see What I call the damn thing.
I am a CMA Entertainer of the Year recipient.
What's a damn song called?
No, but written by you, it's probably called This Sucks.
I defy you, Luke, to write anything better than this.
All right.
I don't remember the damn lyrics.
Man, I've been there. Hi, I'm Luke Bryan. I can't even hate on you for that. I fall off the stage all the time. And it's my design.
Chloe, you don't have a copy of Another Damn Day, do you?
No, not.
Damn it. That's my favorite. Do I even remember the first? Let's see. Monday morning. I don't remember it. Damn it.
That's what happens. Man, that's what happens when you got your head so full of songs. You start to forget your own stuff.
I defy you to beat. Your head in the oven can't get no spark.
Man, I'm the one that came up with Country Girl Shake It For Me. Do it for the critters in the creek. I came up with the smash hit, I'm going to sit right here and have a beer.
It's like he just writes these when he's doing stuff.
Yeah, I wrote it one the other day. It was just because I was called, I'm driving down the road. Stop to get groceries. That's what the first verse is all about.
Is that really a song?
God, I hope not. No. And if you want, so that's his new Spring Break song, Spring Break Down, Cut 18. This is apparently Luke's farewell to Spring Break, even though he's 38.
Well, I've kind of jokingly said, hey, I have figured out a way to be a spring breaker through my 30s, and I probably shouldn't push that luck, but all good things must certainly come to an end, and we'll leave it on top, you know, leave it with great feelings and great vibes, and, you know, we've all had such a great time through the years doing it, and just felt like it was the time to move on from it.
Yeah, see, what you didn't hear there in the interview is in the real reason why I'm quitting Spring Break. It's because Mama said to. My wife said, you are 38. And she didn't like it one time when I told her I brought crabs for dinner, and then I pulled my pants down. She did not find that as funny as guys on the bus.
Where'd you get the crabs from there, Luke?
Blake Shelton.
You may want to back off those country music hugs.
Yeah, I was really excited to see Ty Herndon the other day. And then someone told me to stop hugging him so tight.
There's got to be one listener that remembers the lyrics to Another Damn Day. Be perfect going to this break, and all I can remember is head in the oven, can't get no spark. Are you looking for it, Chloe?
Yeah.
Maybe I should just give you guys all my files. Monday morning, up like a lark? No.
Lark?
Do you think it would be on this computer in here?
What was your next line? He went to a park? That's what I would have gone with.
Monday morning. Man, it really pisses me off when I hate somebody so much I forget the lyrics to their slam song.
I think you had quite a few of them, though.
Yeah, Dan's got his knee pads on.
Yes, he did.
What a pathetic end of this segment. I believe I will play a dando spot.
Oh, man, I love dandos.
What's the newest one? Chloe, you can stop looking for it. You don't have it. Attention all criminals, hoodlums, and scofflaws. Have you been looking for the dando perfect for the delinquent in you? After months of tedious litigation, Pretty Little Dan Inc. is proud to reveal Grand Theft Dando. Besides being a top-of-the-line pleasuring device, it also doubles as the premier criminal assistance apparatus. The Grand Theft Dando includes these stealth accessories: a slim gem, precision diamond-tipped glass cutter, a set of lockpicks, a Romulan cloaking shield, a hydraulic grappling hook with high
tensile climbing rope, masterfully hand-woven from Dan's titanium strength-ass hair. You're probably asking yourself, where the f*** is the pleasure? Well, here's the best part. The Grand Theft Dando conveniently collapses into a colon-filling capsule. With its special sphincter-seeking technology, every item of the Grand Theft Dando knows where to go and what to penetrate. Order today and receive a free KERA tote bag. So when you're done, if you don't explode into a gooey, satisfied pile of blood and organ pieces, you'll have a place to stash your Grand Theft Dando as well. Order now. Another fine product from PLD Inc.
All right, we'll be back.
We'll be back to the Russ Martin Show. Never miss a moment. Even in the AM. The Russ Martin Show. Weekday mornings, 7 to 11. On Talk Radio 1190.
606, this is KEGM. Fort Worth, Dallas, Texas. Another check on traffic. Alfie Coy is in the Eagles' Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by Burger King. Let's get started off in Dallas. Eastbound I-20, right at Houston School Road. Got an accident blocking the left center lane. Traffic there's backed up back to Polk Street. Also in Dallas, eastbound I-30, right at I-35, right there in the Mixmaster. Got an accident blocking the right lane. Traffic there is backed up back from Hampton Road. This one involves an 18-wheeler and two other vehicles. Probably going to be there for a little while. Got Arlington to westbound 20, right at New York Avenue. Got an accident there. This one's in the clearing state. This traffic is backed up back to the bush. In Burleson, southbound 35W, just after Highway 174, got an accident blocking the right lane. Traffic there is backed up back to Allsbury Boulevard. And finally, in Denton, northbound I-35, just before Post Oak, got an accident blocking the left lane. Your backup is back from Lake Dallas Drive. Listen to Sydney Skull tomorrow morning at 7:25 for a shot to win a pair of tickets to go see 3 Days Grace on April 23rd at the Bomb Factory. Details are online at KEGL.com. I'm Alfie Coy in the Eagles Black Thunder.
Eagle Weather brought to you by TrueCar.com. Tonight, cloudy, 51 for a low. Tomorrow, some morning rain as we hit a high in the mid-60s. Right now, 68 at 97.1, the Eagle.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
Ow! Wait a minute. Ow!
All right. Did we do it? Another Dan Day?
Yeah.
Dr. Thornton asked about him. He goes, do we know where Dan Lewis is now?
Mm-hmm.
I forget the city. I think it's even smaller than Victoria. Or is he back out in East Texas?
It's East Texas. I think like Mount Pleasant, Pittsburgh, perhaps.
But he...
Pittsburgh, PA!
Texas.
What up?
But he's using a radio name, Deacon Blue, thinking he can hide from our listeners. And I don't know how they find him time after time.
We have contacts.
But do we have contacts at every radio station? All the small, really, you don't need any contacts at major market or medium market stations.
No. Yeah.
All you need is contacts at the small ones or the ones that aren't even listed.
And we apparently do.
But somehow they found him. I forget what the station is. I don't think it's K-Bus. That was the one in East Texas. It was part of a radio group. But he tried changing his name, and it's dude, you forget about it. You, Richard Kimball, and our listeners are Tommy Lee Jones.
Outhouse. That's probably where he is. Probably an outhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Classy.
Okay. Alfie, did any of the listeners call that remembered the lyrics?
Two did that knew the first line, but that's it.
Okay. I had this song stuck, the another Dan Day, in my head about a month or two ago. I was laying in bed. I couldn't go to sleep, and I couldn't think of the lyrics. It was pissing me off. All I could remember was, head in the oven, can't get no spark.
That's my favorite part. So it makes sense that's the part you would remember.
Well, I know, but you want to lead up to it.
I know.
I think Alfie said he was thinking about this the other day.
That was freaky, similar to what happened to me. This past Sunday or Saturday night, for some reason, this song was stuck in my head. I had to sort of...
Are you talking about this song, Another Dan Day, or the real song that I stole it from, A Beautiful Sunday?
No, Another Dan Day was stuck in my head. I had to go and look up the real one just to sort of satiate that.
Did you know what the original song was?
I knew it was a Beautiful Sunday or...
Right.
Yeah. I just went and found it on YouTube and, all right, this is going to have to hold me over for a while.
Yeah, to me, the song's permanently changed.
Yeah, I got an email. This was a couple of years ago. Somebody heard Beautiful Sunday by, I think it was Daniel Boone.
Okay.
That's the guy that did it. One Hit Wonder. Heard it on K-Love. Sent me an email. Hey, man, somebody stole your song. Okay. We'll get this one. Yeah. Go through this once. And we'll do news.
All right.
You've heard this one, Dr. Thorne?
Yes, I have.
All right. Nowhere to go. Head to your front porch. Time for a show. Hey, hey, hey. It's another damn day. Ha, ha, ha. Beautiful Monday. For you it's just another Sunday. When you hear Laura say that she loves you. Oh, my, my, my. She means if you die. Birds won't sing, they spit on your feet. Colors like you, they feel so elite. Hey, 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 it's another damn day.
Don't spit on your feet now.
Your life now is a cervical smear. Now you pick up knees for clear. Hey, 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 it's another damn day. Ha, 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 beautiful Monday. For you it's just another Sunday. When you hear Laura say that she loves you. If you die.
Thank you.
I wonder what it's like going through life when you tell people your name, they recognize it from this show, and then all of a sudden, you're a leper.
And it's not like he can really hide it because it's...
You got any queer pennies in your pocket?
Yeah, especially they're just meeting. And everything's all flowing pretty good. Oh, hey, what's your name? He says it. Awesome. Everything just changes.
My name is Daniel Lewis. Oh, damn, really? You need some change?
Man, I've heard you got oven problems.
Try to commit suicide, you couldn't get no spark. Man, your life is up, Jack.
You got oven problems.
Decided he's going to kill himself. Ain't no spark. Actually, I didn't realize it. I did a search on this flash drive that I plug into the computer every day.
Uh-huh.
It's only supposed to have audio files for today's show.
Right.
That was the original intent.
But it now has over 1,100?
I wish. I've got all the Dan Lewis songs, the lyrics.
Really?
Because I searched another, because I knew it was another Dan Day. Open file location. Trying to see other songs that we did about him. Sermon. There's Kiss the Jesus Good Morning. That's not Dan. It's one about JD, Big Headed John.
Isn't there one? Oh, Dan's got his knee pads on?
Yeah. I don't think I've got the MIDI. But the lyrics are here. He stands on the corner. I forget how the
Do you remember which song it's set to?
Baby's got her blue jeans on.
Okay. Yeah.
Stands on the corner by the traffic light. All the ethnics think he's a plight. They drive by without even dropping a bone.
Damn.
Then it's back to the bus station. Dan's got his knee pads on.
Dan Lewis.
He got his old stall back, Glory Hole Boutique. Here comes the dingus to take a leak. He sticks his tongue through, hoping to tempt a bone. Making lunch money.
Dan's got his knee pads on.
Hey!
Now, you got anything to compare to that, Luke Bryan?
Yeah, man, I've got awards.
All right.
I've also got a hot wife.
Yeah, okay.
I'm going to spring break.
I ain't never been to jail.
That's true also. I don't have a record. I may have been to jail a couple times.
Has he?
I don't know. I don't think so. He's actually a really good guy. It's part of what's fun about making, you know. See, this version of Luke Bryan's clearly twisted.
I can't find any more Dan songs. Here's the song that I... What year was this? Song that I wrote for Ron Chapman when he came up to the studio when we were over at CBS.
Woo.
I did this to the tune of... I had the black singers and the band. I think we had the band at the time.
I don't remember. And away the singers, by the gospel choir.
They sang it for him live to Orleans, You're Still the One. You know, I'm a damn nice guy.
Yeah, you got your moments.
Why is it nobody treats me with any dignity? Ungrateful pieces of
Probably that right there.
That part?
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't call them ungrateful pieces of if they weren't. I call them that because that's what they are. Except for Hawkeye.
Yeah. But, I mean, you also referred to Ron Chapman as old bag of piss.
I think J.D. started that.
Still, you carried the flag mightily.
Yeah.
Wish I could find that original recording. It was pretty good lyrics. I should write songs.
Pretty good.
About nice things.
That might be a stretch. I don't know.
Instead of people sucking at the bus station.
Yeah, tell you what, make that a challenge. Try to write something, write a song about something nice about somebody. And just to see if your inspiration rolls as much as it does as if on the other way.
Nah, because everything that I write is a parody of something else, so I'm just stealing other people's lyrics. Man, there's some really nasty titles in this folder.
Any of them you can say?
Some of them. Your squid is a wonderful thing. If the confessional is rocking, don't bother knocking.
I'm still surprised we didn't get protested over that one.
See, Whitey got run over by a reindeer. Pope of the Catholics. That was to Barry Manilow's song.
Copacabana.
Yeah, I'm not going to perform anything. So let's just move on to news.
Okay.
All right, Text 19. Dan O'Malley's here with news.
Thank you, Russ. Today is Wednesday, March 11, 2015. Birthdays today. Anton Yelchin turns 26. He plays Chekhov in the new Star Trek movies. Actress Thora Birch turns 33. She played Kevin Spacey's daughter in American Beauty. Benji and Joel Madden from Good Charlotte are 36. Benji is actually currently married to Cameron Diaz. Johnny Knoxville from Jackass and everything else that he does has turned 44. Terrence Howard turns 46.
He was that Ron Howard's brother?
No. This is the Terrence Howard that played
The black guy?
Yeah, he's the one that played Iron Man's buddy in the first Iron Man. Rhodey. James Rhodes. And then he was replaced.
I thought Rhodey was Don Cheadle.
In Iron Man 2 and 3, yes.
Okay, then I missed that.
Yep. Lisa Loeb turns 47. John Barrowman is 48. He's from Arrow. Vinnie Paul, he turns 51. Happy birthday. Susan Richardson from Eight is Enough is 63. Bobby McFerrin, 65. Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia is 79. Also has one of the great parody accounts on Twitter. Sam Donaldson is 81. And Fox Network mogul Rupert Murdoch turns 84 today. Well, two now former University of Oklahoma students involved in a racist video that has sparked controversy were identified on Tuesday, and both are Dallas area high school graduates. One of the former OU students has issued an apology along with the parents of the other. Jesuit graduate Parker Rice is 19, was one of the students identified in the video leading the racist chants. The other student has been identified as 20-year-old Levi Pettit, who graduated from Flophair Highland Park High School in 2013. Rice apologized in a statement emailed by his father, and then Fox 4 received a statement Tuesday evening from Pettit's parents. Rice said the incident...
Which one is Pettit? Is he the one that you see walking up and down in the bus?
I'm not sure which one is which.
Parker's okay. One of the ones that you see kind of... The camera's focused on him, and he's turning back and forth, you know, waving his arms.
They're both
the one in the tuxedo in the center of the aisle.
Yeah.
Okay. I know one of the parents issued an apology.
Yeah, that's this. As parents of Levi, we love him and care for him deeply. He made a horrible mistake and will live with the consequences forever. While it may be difficult for those who only know Levi from the video to understand, we know his heart, and he is not a racist. We raised him.
I think chanting the N-word... That's not a mistake. That's not, you didn't misspeak. You're chanting it over and over. I don't care how much you had to drink. Alcohol is not to blame. I have been drunk, and I have never. I think I've used the N-word once or twice, maybe five times, around Big Stacy and Black Eddie, only because, first of all, I know neither one of them can catch me. But they gave me special dispensation to say it, and it was only at band practice. And I still felt uncomfortable. I went, yeah, that's not going to happen more than two or three more times.
in the next 5 minutes?
And I just, there is no drunken stupor that I ever be in that I would chant that. Mm-mm. Even if I thought about saying it in my house, I'd be scared.
The Beagle released the video?
Yeah, yeah. The Beagle going to drop dime on you. You're going to sell it to TMZ.
I got this on my iPhone. Now, one of two things can happen. I can post it on my Facebook page, and she does have a Facebook page.
Boo does?
Yeah, I haven't updated it. But yeah.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, Boo Martin.
Mm-hmm. I think the profile picture is her on the couch, and you can see my entryway in the background, and the caption is, this is my house. I own this. But go ahead. It's not a mistake. Anybody in their worst, and Chloe and I know about drunken stupors.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're pretty close, Dan.
Knowing about drunken stupors?
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. Yep.
The N-word ever come to mind?
Not a chance.
Mm-mm. No.
Usually, for me, the stuff that comes to mind is, I don't make one more drink. Or I'm playing a video game.
Yeah, and I've called more than I probably should chicks the C word when I'm drunk. But the N word? Nope. No. Oof, if I said some C words.
Well, that goes back to, if you don't want to get called it, don't be one. I'm talking about the C word.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right, good.
Yeah, that's a chosen behavior.
Yeah. Using any type of ethnic slur, that's, no. No. Because I'm sure, even if you're drunk, getting your ass beat is no fun.
Better drunk than sober.
I'm sure it's still no joyous event.
No, because you're going to wake up and still feel it. Levi's parents also said, we raised him to be loving and inclusive, and we all remain surrounded by a diverse, close-knit group of friends.
And you've got to be pretty confident that everybody on that bus, as you're doing that chant, which they claim they learned from, alumni, You got to be pretty sure that everybody on that bus is going to be racist. And that doesn't speak well at all.
No.
For the Sigma, what is it?
Sigma Alpha Epsilon.
Yeah, SAE.
But luckily, there was one person on the bus who went, I knew this day was coming.
And I gets the video. I believe I'll send this to the black activist group on campus. And just hey, heads up.
Now, do you think they sent it to him just to be a dick? Or they sent it to him going, hey, this is going on in our fraternity?
I don't know what the intention was just by sending it there. But either way, it was my assumption is that they sent it knowing it would become public. So whatever the reason for it, still the reason was, or the motivation was to make it public.
And to pass it off, I appreciate the fact the parents made an apology. They didn't dance around anything. Well, they sort of did. Well, anybody that knows him knows he's not racist. Well, if you run around doing racist chants, you're racist.
Yeah.
And if you're saying there'll never be a black person in this fraternity, I'm sorry. There's no way out of that one. He made a mistake. That's not a mistake. That's a lifestyle choice. It's something that you decided you were going to say, and I just wonder how far this goes back and if this is something that's tied into other chapters of this fraternity, although they claim we knew they're.
That's what the national.
One of them said that their intolerance will not be tolerated. Well, okay. First of all, that's a dandy statement.
Mm-hmm. That's the problem with the national fraternity. Is they always, it seems like most of the job for a national fraternity is to set forth some sort of guidelines and then to be the mouthpiece when the local chapters screw up. Because the national chapter always says, this does not reflect our ideals, blah, 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 blah. Really? Then how does all this crap keep happening? How is it you still have hazing incidents in fraternities and sororities? How is it that you say that you're not a racist organization, yet multiple chapters at multiple universities said, oh, we know that song.
Well, all of us know racial songs.
Yeah, but this
one's... We know racial jokes that we only pass along to our white friends. I told Eddie the Flintstones joke.
And he laughed.
Yeah.
Oh, big time.
When I was in college, SAE was sort of the sophisticated fraternity, I believe. I didn't do the Greek thing, but... It's Kappa Alphas, I believe, that were notoriously racist. And
see, that's the problem, Doc, is it depends on the campus.
At the time that you were in college.
Yeah. That was
you don't know if they are now.
No, I don't know.
Because like it's so weird how the Greek system works. Say at SMU, the Kappa Alpha Theta sorority is really cool. Mm-hmm. At TCU, doesn't have the same standing. It's still nice, but it's not the Tri-Delts.
Alfie, what is line one?
That is a very confused man.
Yes, Leon.
Hey, Russ. How are you doing, boss?
Good.
Hey, man, I was just calling to say that, you know, I understand why you're coming down on these youngsters from up there in Oklahoma, but the N-word, if you look it up in the dictionary, is not a racial slur. It's actually just the scum of the earth. It doesn't matter what your skin color is. It is a mindset, and it doesn't refer to skin color.
Don't ever call this number again.
God.
Now, there is a word that means cheap, tight, a spendthrift.
Yes.
That sounds like the N-word.
Mm-hmm.
And politicians have used it before and then went back, I didn't know any part. Well, technically, and I don't want to say it, but it's the N-word. It's the N-word with... Ardley at the end of it.
Yeah.
But I don't care. I looked it up. The dictionary says, all right, you go explain that.
Yeah.
Tell you what. Go to the next Black Panthers meeting. They go, all right, first of all, you guys got this wrong for decades, for hundreds of years. This is not an ethnic slur. Right here in Webster's. And, I mean the dictionary, not that little black kid. Explain it to them.
Yeah, you go clear it up. Go ahead.
Take that theory down to cell block C for me.
Yeah. But you go down to a prison someplace. They go, all right, we need to have a meeting. All right, we got a break. We're late.
We'll be back to the
Russ Martin Show.
.637 Another check on traffic. Al Picoy is in KEGL's Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by Taco Bell. Let's get started off in Dallas. Eastbound I-20 by the Houston School Road. Got an accident blocking the left center lane. Traffic goes backed up back from Polk Street. Also in Dallas, eastbound I-30, right at I-35, right there in the Mixmaster. Got an accident involving an 18-wheeler and two other cars blocking the right lane. Traffic's backed up back from Hampton Road. In Richardson, northbound 75, right at Campbell, got an accident blocking the HOV and the left lane. Traffic's backed up back from the High 5. In Denton now, northbound I-35E, just before Post Oak, got an accident blocking the left lane. Traffic there is backed up into Louisville, back from FM 407. That's Justin Road. And finally in Burleson, southbound 35W, just after Highway 174, Wilshire Boulevard, got an accident blocking the right lane. Traffic there is backed up back from Rendon Crowley. Subscribe to the Russ Martin Show audio and video archives at russmartin.fm. All proceeds benefit the RMS Listeners Foundation. I'm Alfie Coy and the Eagles Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by Grasshopper. Cloudy skies tonight, 51 for a low. Tomorrow, morning rain with a high of 65. Right now, 68. At 97.1, the Eagle.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
Okay, we were talking about the OU thing.
Mm-hmm.
When they were clearing out the house, the fraternity house,
yeah,
there was some chick there. I don't know if she was like the, house mom or...
Yeah. Yeah, she'd been there for years.
She said... None of those people on that bus lived in this house.
I don't know about none of them, but the ones in the video, I don't think they did, no.
And yet, hate to blame everybody for, I don't know, how many people were on the bus?
I don't know. I mean, I can guesstimate because I've been on those party buses like that before.
But, yeah, maybe 20.
Well, it'd be more than that.
All right,
like 40 or 50, but... But let's say there are 50 people on that bus. It might have been 15 of them that are doing the chant. So the whole idea is, do you punish everybody? And CNN had a SAE brother from like 2005 who went to that chapter at OU, and he's black. And they asked him that question. They said, should this be one or all or what? And he said, it should be all of them. And the reason why... Because even though maybe that's only a select few that are doing the chant, not one other person on that bus is telling him to stop it. And if you're not putting a stop to it, then you are culpable. And he's right.
It's kind of like when President Bush made the statement after the 9/11 attacks. You're either with us or you're against us.
Mm-hmm.
So... maybe they felt... I don't know. They're good. I don't know if you can get kicked out of a fraternity. You tell somebody, hey, this chant is racist, and I don't feel comfortable with it.
And you know what? I would be proud if I got kicked out of my frat for telling them to stop it. Or if I'd been on that bus, that kid's going to get hit a lot.
And to think that you've got any privacy anywhere where there's another person. Well, you got to know our son. I don't know if this was the guy leading the chant, whoever the guy was in the middle of the aisle, going back and forth, whatever his name was. That's not a mistake. That's not poor judgment. That's just racism.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, maybe we could send them to sensitivity training. You know what? Sensitivity training should have started at the home.
And that's one of those things where you want to, and actually, that story actually said there were some protesters at one of the these kids' parents' houses.
Oh, they got death threats. And,
oh, yeah.
I don't know why it is. Always the first thing when somebody's pissed off about something on social media, the first thing is a death threat.
Yeah.
I'm going to kill you.
You need to die. World's a better place. Hang yourself.
Well, they talked about lynching and during that chant.
Yes, they did. Absolutely. And I'm trying to see where it actually says.
I mean, it's justified to threaten somebody, but, man, you got to scare these white people to the point to where they knock this stuff off.
They can't help it, though. They absolutely cannot help it. Because
you really think it can't help it means it's not a choice and it's genetic.
Well, in that case, I guess I mean to say they can help it. They just choose not to because they want to. They want to do it. They want to somehow feel daring or, you know, just like, ooh, I'm going to be the controversial pledge.
This is just another one of those scenarios, one of those incidents, one of those events to where I don't get it. I can't play both sides. Whoa. Now there's no whoa. And then the apologies come. Who knows how long they've been singing this chant? Well, it was taught to us. Well, when it was taught to you, why didn't you go, hey, dude, that's pretty f***ed up?
That would have been the proper response.
Because they said it was passed on from alumni. Mm-hmm. Were you going to say something, Alfie?
No, I'm sorry.
Oh, I thought I heard your voice. Sorry.
But yeah, a handful of protesters went to Rice's parents' house. That's Parker Rice, who's 19, the one who went to Jesuit. Went to Rice's parents' home with signs on Tuesday night, believing they should bear some responsibility. Now, on one hand, you would say, yeah, they should. He obviously grew up in that environment. No. It's not necessarily the case. The parents may have done everything right, may have done everything, you know, that they should have. But he goes to school and gets influenced by others. He wants to fit into a group and feel accepted. He's going to take on the traits of that group. And it may be at the expense of his family. So it's really easy to say, oh, blame the parents. It's their fault. And you know what? To a certain degree, should they? I'm sure they're wondering what they did wrong. But at a certain point, a kid's just an a-hole and is going to somehow go in with some group dynamic and become assimilated to it.
Then you have to decide. And Dr. Thornton, who had to go play at those poor people's pub, and I only call it that because he plays there.
Mm-hmm.
Where did he say he got a gig Friday night?
Manny's in Frisco.
Is it a Mexican restaurant?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's on Main Street east of the tollway.
8 to 10?
I think it's 9 to...
I think you said it was for 3 hours.
8 to 11.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, Friday night. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, we can plug that Friday. Dr. Thornton would have been a better person to ask this question to. All right, how much can the parents take responsibility for? Because you've got, you know, people that will blame video games, music, as far as influencing their children. Okay, so the whole time that you were raising them, you had no influence? Which is it? Their mindset isn't really formed until they're old enough to play video games or listen to, you know, death metal music?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it the formative years? Which one is it? Which is really more important as far as child rearing?
And there's also... If you want to blame parents for on one level, what about the kids that are parents of racist, like your parents are racist, yet somehow at some point on your own you realize, man, this is jacked up, and you broke from your parents.
Yeah, you get out into society because if you grow up in a, we can only speak from the white perspective because that's all we have here. No offense to the you people.
What do you mean, you people?
You know what I mean. But you get out of the environment, and you it's like with – I know he's in trouble right now, and it's not the best of all examples, but once we had John Wally Price on the show, you know, up until that point, I was just scared to death of that man. Just because of all the things he'd done, and he's black and scary. And he even admitted it. He goes, yeah, I used to be scary. But you talk to him one-on-one, talk to him on the air, off the air, and all of a sudden he's no longer this scary guy ripping off windshield wipers, although back then I think he was playing on the scary aspect.
I'm sure he was. Intimidation can be a powerful tool.
But then you sit in a room and you have a normal conversation, then the scary racial gap, if there was one, is gone.
And it also helped that you didn't say anything racial.
He started. He walked in and he goes, it's the first time I've been in a room with this many white people where I wasn't being questioned. Because when he came in, he IF'd all of us.
Yes, he did.
I went, I have no clue where this is going to go. And I certainly am not going to pull the gun if he gets violent on me because who knows what he's packing.
You may not want to find out.
Looked like Jim Carrey at one of the scenes of, what was it, The Mask?
Yeah. Yeah, where he pulls out like 20 guns.
Yeah. It just, a lot of it is just all of its ignorance. Through communication, somehow you're not as ignorant. But the guy that called, the N-word isn't racist.
It sure is if you use it right.
You know, if the N-word existed before white people started using it, did it exist?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not a derivative of Negro.
There's some thoughts that they're somewhat related, but the...
I would see how they can piece that together.
But the original definition of the N-word was not tied directly to
black people.
It had its own separate definition. But over the course of time... the word shifted, and it became what the original definition was applied to blacks, and then it was forever changed. So if you are able to pull up a Merriam-Webster and you see the original definition, you say, well, that's how I was using it, then you're an idiot.
And if you have to explain it while you're getting your ass beat, it's too late.
Yeah, Alfie says line one.
Yes, Chris.
Yes.
Yes.
I just wanted to say, we have an all-black month. We have tons of radio stations that are all black, but we don't have white stations like that because we're considered racist, right?
Would you consider us a white station?
No. And also, I wanted to say...
I don't think we play any black music.
I wanted to say, how does it feel to hang up on people?
I don't know. Tell me. You can call me back. Why would she even bring that up?
So that's
hey, that goes back to the mentality. Why do they have the Black Entertainment Network? Why can't we have the White Entertainment Network?
We do. It's all the other networks. Have you seen The Bachelor? My God.
Well,
have you seen movies in general? There's a reason why you have Tyler Perry's Whatever It Is this month, is because that way people know, hey, this is a movie that's not going to be chock full of hunkies.
Why is it they can have that and it's not racist? Because black people didn't treat us like for how many years?
Thousands.
Well, we did it that long?
Well,
hundreds at least.
Hundreds definitely, but...
Well, hundreds not as bad.
I'll let you convince them of that.
Because black people didn't treat us like for centuries. Well, what is this black pride? How come there can't be white pride? There is. And you've got the freedom to say it. But you also got the freedom to have your ass kicked.
Mm-hmm. And lose your job. And get possibly kicked out of school.
Well, can't we have an organization? Tried it.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't work.
They screwed it up.
Yep.
KKK could have been just, you know, a simple benign group.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we're protecting everybody's rights. Nobody's any better than anybody else. The only people that we don't like just happen to be of another color, and we wear our hoods when we burn our houses down. Because we're coward chicken
mm-hmm.
It's like we go back to what I said about Dr. King. He wasn't a black activist. He was a humanitarian activist.
Human rights activist.
I hate the fact that there's anybody that stupid that listens to this show. Why is this such a big deal? I'm sure there are black fraternities that have their chance to say there'll be no honkies in this fraternity.
Mm.
But that's got nothing to do with us. You're in control of what you say and what you do. If your company doesn't like it and you get popped, fine. Look at Dr. Laura. Use the N-word over and over and over to a black woman on the phone who kept saying I was offended. And not only did she keep using the N-word, mm-hmm. she went into a break and came back and used the N-word some more. And then said her First Amendment.
Yep.
We argue about so many of them, I lose track.
I know.
Freedom of speech. Dr. Laura, by freedom of speech, my rights have been usurped.
You're an idiot.
The government didn't come and get you. You weren't locked up. The state didn't come and get you. No local municipality. No local city locked you up. You just got fired, and it's the company's right to do that. Imus, I think, got screwed around. His was a mistake. I don't think they really meant it as a racial thing because they were going, hey, one team's good looking, the other one's not. And they were quoting from a Spike Lee movie.
He was trying to be funny, and it backfired.
And of all people, even though I had no idea really that much about Imus, when I heard his apology, I went, that's kind of heartfelt, sincere. He goes, it was stupid, and we're sorry. Dr. Laura's apology was elongated and almost played herself off as a victim.
She did, absolutely.
And then you got Barbara Walters on The View. Does it bother you when I say
it bothers me when you say anything, Barbara.
And Shady, whatever her name was, the fat black chick that I like.
Sherry Shepherd?
Yeah, she was on 30 Rock. Yeah, 30 Rock.
Yeah, 30 Rock.
Like, it's not, how many times does somebody have to explain to you, it ain't your word? It's probably not right for black people to call us honkies, but it doesn't really bother me.
No.
I don't mind being called a redneck, white trash. I'm kind of cool with all that. Because I earned all of it. Black people did not earn the N-word.
No.
And that's about as succinct as I can make that. Now, who wants to sing a spiritual?
Oh, you got one?
I don't know. You know, like Camp Town Ladies.
Oh, let's not do that one.
Come on, boys!
No!
Any more idiots I want to talk to, Alfie?
Oh, we got a couple. Line 6 or line 4, your choice.
Well, you sound very excited. Go ahead, Dustin.
Yeah, my whole thought on, you know, this racial stuff, black people treat us like we owe them something. But, you know, we freed them however long ago. We don't owe them anything anymore. They have their freedom now. They can do as they please. You know, back then.
Do you hear what you just said? They have their freedom now.
Yes. They have their.
We used to keep them, black people, as livestock, as property. You don't think that kind of slowed them down in life?
It does to
as far
a
as
point.
Opportunities. I'm not saying we should go out and hand black people, you know, every black person you meet, hand them, you know, $5 and go, hey, I'm sorry what happened for long before I was born.
Yeah.
But there still are. It's just like.
But that opens up the opportunity for them to. Just like that police officer killing the black kid. Oh, it's racist. It's all racist, racial motivated. Well, no, he happened to be white. The kid happened to be black. If a black cop were to, you know, kill a white kid.
Oh, there are black on white crimes a lot in the news. And for some reason, it doesn't really hear that much about it. But what does that have to do with this whole fraternity and their black chant?
But some of the kids, yes, they were there standing by, but you also have to go back to what you said earlier about, you know, it's one of those things alumni did whenever they were in school. Well, okay, they might have done it, and it just might be one of these things that's just passed down as a thing.
But at a certain point, as a civilized human being, you tell whatever alumni is teaching you this and go, hey, that whole chant is up. I don't want to know it. I don't want to know any of it.
True.
Thank you. We have one more break.
Yes.
Alfie, one more.
If you want, Guy on Line 4 thinks we're hypocrites.
This one's going to be easy.
All right.
Yes, Justin.
Oh, yeah, man, I know I'm probably fixing to get slammed. is this Russ Martin?
Yes.
Man, I kind of think like you might be a little bit hypocritical whenever you had that little tiger, whatever you was doing there, where you bleeped out the T, and you know, it sounded like the N-word there, but...
Didn't sound like the N-word to me. It just sounded like Tiger was being bleeped out.
Well, I know.
And do you know why you thought it was the N-word?
Why is that?
Because you're racist.
Well, yeah. No.
We'll be back to the Russ Martin Show.
This is Alfie Coy. The tone, leave your name and message. I'll get back to you.
705. This is KEGO, Fort Worth, Dallas, Texas. Alfie Coy is in the Eagles Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by ExxonMobil. We started off in Fort Worth, southbound 35W, right up Meacham Boulevard. Got a stalled vehicle blocking the right lane. Traffic there is backed up back from North Loop 820. In Burleson, southbound 35W, just after Highway 174, Wilshire Boulevard. Got an accident there in the clearing stages. Traffic is backed up back from Brendan Crowley. Moving to Denton, northbound I-35E, just before Post Oak. Got an accident there. This one is in the clearing stages. Traffic is still jacked up all the way back from the Lake Louisville Bridge. And finally, in Grand Prairie, westbound I-30, just after MacArthur, got an accident blocking the right lane. Traffic is backed up back from Loop 12, Walton Walker. Listen to Chris Ryan tomorrow afternoon at 12:25 for a shot to win a pair of tickets to go see the UFC 185 show at the American Airlines Center on March 14th. Details are online at KEGL.com. I'm Alfie Coy in the Eagles Black Thunder.
From the Staples Weather Center, weather brought to you by TrueCar.com. Cloudy tonight, 51 for a low. Tomorrow morning, there will be rain, but that should clear up, and then we'll just be cloudy as we hit a high of 65. Right now, 64 at 97.1 The Eagle.
I didn't do a legal ID over that last traffic, did I? All right, I'll do it here. Give me a second.
Move over and let the big dog at the Russ Martin Show. K-E-G-L-D-E.
707. This is KEGL, Fort Worth, Dallas, Texas. What are you laughing at, Alfie?
Just that face you made.
Oh, I know you were watching. Are you doing legal ID and it ends with a sonic boom? That's a damn legal ID, Jack. Mm-hmm. I'm going to listen to that after the show. You know, I mean business. Slick.
Mm-hmm. You like the new Superman movie, Man of Steel.
What?
Just busting a sound barrier every 5 minutes.
If I could fly that fast, I would.
Mm-hmm.
Bang. Bang, bang. Got that little vapor contrail mm-hmm. around you, behind you.
Yeah, he never liked to just, like, you know, woo, take off. It was always just immediate.
Yeah.
Gone. Where are you going? Yeah. What's rush? Where's fire? Didn't you just save everybody? Why you got to jump? I mean, you can already fly. Shouldn't you just go fly? I mean, you say to yourself, fly now. Why you got to jump?
Yeah, you could be in midair floating. You don't have to kick off of anything.
Yeah, you ain't got to kick your legs or flap your arms. Why is it to get off the ground you got to jump?
Yeah, you got to bend your knees a little. Why can't you just go?
Yeah. You don't see, when you start your car and you put it in drive, it don't back up a couple of feet before it takes off. Why like, Superman got to jump?
I know we're both looking at Dan for like we need an answer.
Yeah, I think you've come to the wrong person.
I don't know why that flashed on me. It's like
Christopher,
he always just kind of bent his knees a little bit.
And that's in the Christopher Reeve Superman movies, right? Because the new one, I don't think he really does that.
The new one, he does.
Yeah. Well, that's when he's learning to fly. Because like at the end when he
if you already defy gravity, first of all, how do you stay on the ground?
Well, he's got control.
How do you can't control gravity? Either you float or you don't.
He doesn't float. He can just fly.
He controls the power. Yeah, the beams don't come out of his eyes all the time.
Where is the power coming from?
From his cells. Did you not watch the last movie? They explained everything.
Of why he defies Earth's gravity.
He doesn't defy the Earth's gravity. He's just able to fly.
But why has he got to jump? How does he stay on the ground?
Because of gravity. He's like an airplane. An airplane controls.
Plane's got wings, and it's the air that goes above and below the wings.
And that's fine. But
that's how they're airborne.
But the plane controls.
Superman don't flap his his arms.
No.
Why's he got to jump?
See, the thing is.
Hang on. Let me get rid of these calls first. Alfie.
Line 5.
Yes, Gregory.
Yes, sir. Just wanted to say that I was proud of you guys. I'm a young black man myself. Can't tell my friends that I listen to your station, but you guys make me laugh. So I realized today after your last segment that you're just a realist. You're not any other label. I just think you guys are pretty real.
Why is it you can't tell your black friends you listen?
Well, it's not that I can't tell them. It's just they wouldn't get it. They wouldn't understand it.
How would you like it if I told all my white listeners I didn't want to tell them that you listen?
Well, that's okay. I mean,
not really.
You're prerogative. You can do what you want to do.
this is not a black. It's a white perspective show because that's all we know. But I do know hating somebody or thinking that they're inferior for no reason, that's just asinine. And
I agree.
It's an argument you're never going to win. If somebody comes up, well, look at all these stupid black people. All right, let me take you out to East or West Texas.
Mm. I agree.
And I can show you plenty of people that will trump anything that you found on the internet.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you, brother. Can I call you brother?
Absolutely. You're cool, man. You're all right.
All right. How old are you?
40.
How long have you been listening to us?
For about 2 weeks.
Oh, how'd you end up down? Was it the Merle?
It was, no, I don't even know who that is, but y'all talk about him enough.
How did you, a couple of weeks ago, did you just move to Dallas-Fort Worth?
Well, I lived here for a while. I just moved back about 3 months ago from Phoenix, and I was flipping through the stations because I didn't have any stations set on, and you said something funny that caught my attention, and then y'all went off on another tangent, and the next day you were talking about citrus and some other stuff. You just caught me. You caught me.
Yeah, he started on a good day.
I'm surprised you guys, because me, honestly, if I were to flip this show on and had no idea of any of the characters or any of the backstories, and I flipped it on and listened for 2 minutes, I'd just go, okay, that noise. I'm going to go find some music.
Well, so, y'all said something, and I was like, what the F is wrong with these people? And I was just hooked, like when you're passing a traffic accident on the highway, you just have to look. That's what happened.
Yeah.
So you like to look at white people effing up.
The women, yeah. Mm-hmm. Keep the guys, okay?
Well, we're happy to have you, boss.
Well, thank you. You guys are doing a good job, and I'm all right with you. You're all right in my book.
All right.
I'd be curious to know if at some point he would ever feel proud enough that he listens to this to tell his buddies.
Yeah. Well, what will we have to do for you to be able to come out of the Russ Martin Show closet?
Well, it's not that. I mean, I could say, hey, I listen to this show. You guys should check it out. They probably look at me funny and ignore it. You know what I mean? They just, it'd have to be on a good day when y'all said something that was just off the wall or out left field. And bam, they'd be like, oh, all right.
I get it.
This white boy is all right.
Yeah, I get it. It's sort of like if he tells them, then if we're not in the middle of bring me some citrus the way he got, they're just going to say, I don't get it. I don't see what the big deal is. Why are you listening? Because they'll probably only listen for like 5 minutes. And if they're not falling off their couch laughing, they're going to say, ah, it sucks.
Well, not everybody could be funny nonstop. Either it's relatable, it's funny, it's something that other people are talking about. What, yeah. So was it the Uptown Funk that got you?
No, I've been listening a week before that came out.
Oh. But was that the topper?
I mean, no. I mean, that was all right. But
oh, it wasn't funny. You hated the dance segment.
Well, I couldn't see the dance segment. You know, if y'all are doing the Carlton there in the radio station, that'd be funny.
Russ has tried that.
Yeah, I can't. Okay. I can't do it. All right, I gotta go. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right. That's our black listener, Gregory, who I'm not ashamed to admit that listens.
If you want.
He don't tell his black friends? That's fine. But I see color, but I don't judge color.
Mm, there you go.
Because, yeah, people go, I don't see color. Yes, you do. If you get held up or whatever, what do they look like? Oh, he's this white short guy or he's this, you know, black tall guy. We see color. I don't judge color.
It's okay to see color. It's not a bad thing. You may notice it the first time you meet somebody, but after a while, you may just stop noticing it because you don't care. But you're right. If someone said, hey, can you give me a description of this person? You can say, yeah, cool black dude.
What were you going to say, Alfie?
If you want, we actually have a lot of other black listeners coming out to defend us, I guess.
Coming out of the RMS closet?
Yeah.
I actually had to go to an RMS support group after I told my family that I listened to that show.
They immediately staged an intervention.
Hi, my name is Roy.
Hi, Roy.
I'm black and I listen to the Russ Martin Show.
Oh, poor baby.
Oh, my God.
When did you realize you hit bottom? Have you stopped listening? Can we give you one of the Russ Martin Show tokens? That's probably the wrong word. What do they call those words?
Chips.
Chips. Yeah. Yes, Colby.
Yes, sir. How you doing, boss?
Good, boss.
Man, I grew up here in the club in the hood, but my parents are from Deep East Texas, and I was raised to, you know, stay away from white people, white cops, like, and I grew up, and it was never my, like, intentions to be like that, you know, and I'm far from that. Man, my first concert was Ozfest. Like, that it's not the parents' fault. That's on the kids. That's stupidity right there at this point, like, period.
Were there any other brothers at Ozfest when you went?
I didn't see any. There were a few, but they
like, damn, I feel like reverse dandruff.
and you know what? I go to many rock and metal shows. I've been to the White Trash Party, and I don't even see, like, you don't deal with racism until it's just put in your face. Like, there are people out here who have stupid ideas about life and how they live. But, man, I grew up, I gangbang growing up, all that stuff. I've been shot and everything, and I don't see it as much as they put it out there. But then I work in delivery, and a lot of times I work in, like, the Highland Park area where, you know, the richer people are.
How many days or times a day you get stopped?
In the truck? Just because the logo on the truck. Now, if my personal vehicle, you know, that's a crapshoot. Depending on which convenience store I walk out of in the middle of the night, I may be accused of a robbery. But
cops pull up, you better be lost.
I have been falsely accused, pulled over, guns drawn, and then, oh, we got the wrong car. We were in, like, a Cutlass, and come to find out the car they were looking for was, like, a Beamer.
What year Cutlass?
87.
Yeah, that'll get you.
Yeah, that's why I drive foreign now.
Yeah.
But, you learn how to avoid these situations.
So, well, let me ask you this. We're running late, but I don't care anymore. What changed your perspective on white people? Because you said you were raised to, you know, be afraid of the white cops and just not like white people in general. What was the, what's the word?
I reached for knowledge, so I started just checking out different things, the things I was supposed to stay away from.
Epiphany.
I actually enjoyed certain areas, certain music, certain people. I ended up being real close with more white people growing up than I were black people. So it was just like you, it's more about life than it is color, you know? So it just, I grew into the world and saw it for more than what the people were trying to show me, you know? So it was what it was.
So you used your better judgment.
Oh, yeah. I mean, better judgment. I listen to you guys every day like clockwork.
All right, what the hell does that mean? Because that don't sound like better judgment. No. That sounds like sometimes I fight my better judgment, I listen to you.
Mm-hmm. No. I prefer to listen to you than the other stations are off.
All right.
I listened before you left and when you came back, and I'm only 28.
Well, glad you're still part of the family.
Thank you.
All right. Any more, Alfie?
Line two.
We kind of covered that. They were taught to fear white people.
Mm-hmm.
They still fear white people?
I don't think he does. He listens.
Well, I ain't safe if it's on the radio because I know you can't get me.
That's true. Yes, Michael.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, boss.
Well, you know,
turn the radio down, Slick.
Well, you know, I was raised black household. I was taught that all white folks ain't nothing but trouble. And she used to get so upset that if I bring a white friend home, I used to catch it left and right. I bring a white friend home to my granddad's house. I left him alone for 5 minutes. I don't know. He said cracker at least 3-4 times before they even left the house.
Okay, that's a lot better than the way I thought that story was going to end.
Yeah.
I left him alone for 5 minutes. I came back. He was dead on a table with an apple in his mouth.
And I mean, like, I got white friends. I got more white friends than I do black friends. I mean, I prefer to hang out with white. I listen to metal. I listen to rock. I go to work.
But if you reverse that, I'm going to go because it's a bad connection. But, I mean, I appreciate the fact you grew up in a black household and you were taught, hey, don't trust whitey.
Mm-hmm.
But say, you know, I got plenty of white friends. That one doesn't work with white people who go, well, I got black friends.
Yeah,
so how could I possibly be racist? You can still be racist and have black friends.
Oh, and actually you saying, you know, I've got 10 black friends. How am I racist? Well, it sounds like you're collecting. And that sounds racist.
Well, but I carry pictures of them in my wallet in case I ever get in trouble. Man, that was a racist comment. No, hang on. Look at these pictures right here. Right here. See that? See that first picture?
Yeah.
Man, that came with a wallet. That's Billy D. Williams.
I got him with a Colt 45 refrigerator magnet.
All right, two more we got to go. Go ahead, Dwayne.
Well, that was easy.
Dwayne. Ray.
Hey, how you doing, Russ Martin?
Go ahead, Ray.
I'm from Roy City, Texas. My two best friends, I call them my brothers. They're black. My cousin, she's black. She's married to a white man. I have no problem with white people. I love your show. I've been listening to it since I was 13 years old. I joined the military and went to Colorado, Fort Carson, and everybody there knew who you were. Everybody I knew there knew who you were. Everybody loved your show. I ain't got no problem with white people. I'm black. My best friends are white. I listen to nothing but rock and old country. I rarely ever listen to rap. I listen to your show at all.
All right. I caught it. I caught it, boss. You're all right. You can go back and just back up and say MF.
You're the funniest MF on the radio.
All right. Sing me some Merle.
Some Merle?
Yep.
All right.
How many times you gonna cuss in one day, right?
Hey, some Merle. I can sing you some Conway Twitty or some Johnny Cash.
Let me hear some Conway.
As the midnight moon was drifting through the lazy sway of the tree.
What song is this?
Slow Hand by Conway Twitty.
Oh, I hate that song. I liked it when the Pointer Sisters did it. Why'd you have to pick the white guy?
Oh, man, I'm sorry.
You told him to.
Well, I know, but I didn't know he was going to do a cover. I like the Pointer Sisters better.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you, Raymond.
No problem.
All right.
Now, why are you act surprised? The guy from Roy City's got a potty mouth.
That's another one of our black listeners, Raymond, with a mother nasty mouth. All right, sing Conway.
Well, sh**.
You just got too casual. You got too comfortable. Mm-hmm. I listen to you every day.
You're the funniest motherfucker I've ever heard. Okay. I don't know what to go out on. Do we have any decent stories?
Yeah, with lots of decent stories. Would you like some?
Let's try one and see what it feels like.
All right. There's a Christian homeless shelter in Juneau, Alaska that's been getting some attention. That's because of its name. It's been open for at least a few years, and somehow it didn't make the rounds online until just recently. And people are making fun of that name, but it might actually lead to more publicity, maybe more donations. Who knows? Or it could all just be part of the plan. But the name of the Christian homeless shelter in Alaska, the Glory Hole.
That ain't where I thought that story was going.
Where did you think it was going?
I don't know. See, I got to go.
Mm-hmm.
They call it the Glory Hole?
They call it the Glory Hole.
That's where glory comes to live.
Mm-hmm.
Do people not keep up with any, not even today's lingo?
I don't know, but to me, this is
I think
is
the term glory hole's been around for a while.
It has, but to me, naming a homeless shelter the glory hole, to me, that's just a trap. Because
yeah,
all that it's a marketing ploy. Because what you do is you put the sign up, it says glory hole, and then you get people's hopes up, and then they get in the door, boom, you hand them a Bible. It's bait and switch.
Well, when I came in, I thought I was going to get a treat.
What kind of treat did you think you were going to get?
You know, glory hole.
This is a homeless shelter.
You go in the bathroom, and you get in one stall, and some guy has drilled a hole.
Huh?
And he sticks his hoe.
Oh, his hoe.
And he sticks his thing through it. And then you lavish it.
You lavish it?
Lavish it. I go in here and it's a damn homeless shelter. Well, who wants to go into a homeless shelter and suck their d***?
Someone who really cares about giving back.
I want to give back. Chloe just wrote something I can't read.
I mean, you can't physically read it because it's too messy, or you can't say it because we'll get fined?
First of all, I don't understand it. Some of it I can't read, and the rest of it's just nasty.
Never mind.
No, I can't.
Can't help you with that one. Welcome to the glory hole. Kiss the Jesus.
I kiss that.
And now today's daily worship.
Don't you want to go to heaven?
Yeah.
Kiss the Jesus. All right. Don't want to go to heaven. Closing the door.
Wait, I want to go to heaven.
Kiss it. Kiss the Jesus.
Man, everything's smaller.
Man, I don't look nothing like Jesus. Jesus had a beard and hair and a robe. Is your Bible different from mine? Because your Jesus looks like a mouse. Yeah, I never seen Jesus wear a turtleneck.
They play peekaboo.
I got to coax of Jesus out. This obviously is a genteel homeless shelter. Get it?
Oh yes, yeah. It's impossible not to get it.
All right, do one more and we'll go.
A female driver who was not wearing pants or underwear when police approached her following a recent traffic accident has been charged with drunk driving, lewdness, and other criminal counts. Pennsylvania police allege that Justine King struck another vehicle around 11 p.m. while driving near her home. Police found King in the driver's seat of her 2003 Chevy Malibu with airbags deployed, the vehicle sitting at an intersection. When told that she had hit another car, King replied, "No, I did not."
I live around the corner and was just picking up my boyfriend. Well, while peering into the vehicle, a police officer observed that King was not only appeared to be drunk, but she was also not wearing any pants or underwear.
I ain't gonna wear no pants in my car.
Officer Joshua Stanga also reported that King was, quote, sitting naked on top of an empty bottle of black velvet. Liquor.
It was a car that made me hot.
Really? The Malibu did it?
It was a Maserati.
When directed to put on her clothes and exit the Chevy, King said, I don't have any pants. I left my home without them. After ignoring several demands to get out of the car.
Randy Travis, we were big on leaving the house without pants.
He's got his thing.
Yeah, pants. That's for pussies. Speaking of pussies.
Oh, no. Why you got to point at it? I know what you meant.
You don't have to repeat everything. Repeat all my gesticulations.
Well, that one was so big.
Right here. Look.
For more information on the Russ Martin Show, go to russmartin.com. To get signed up for the Russ Martin Show audio archives, go to russmartin.fm. Other show websites, djclo.net, danomalley.com, and alfiecloy.com. For all things 97.1 The Eagle, go to kegl.com, where Nikki Six is up next. For all things talk radio 1190. Go to 1190talkradio.com, where Rodney Anderson is up next.
All right. See you guys tomorrow.
Later.
Good luck, Dan, fitting all this into the broadcast on 1190 tomorrow.
I'm just going to cut it all up.
The Metroplex.